Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Sorry for this late. We got started late. A lot of technical difficulties, which we see that are behind us now. So therefore, just go on and can get this thing all started here. Tonight we're doing, it's Friday night. So hey, we're doing free readings. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Black Friday, I guess they call it. If you want to go and give a call in here and get a reading, call 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. I also do private readings as well. And if you want to give me a call, we're having really some really good holiday specials right now, where if you call me at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com. The special is for an hour reading. An hour reading will cost you only $33.33. And then for a 40-minute reading, it's actually $22.22. And for a 20-minute reading, it's $11.11. So give us a call. It's 740-500-8863. 8863, or contact me through my website, which is psychicxjourneyman.com. We're also going over some things of how to really get things going right now. It's one of those situations where the very first thing I like to read is the ideal, the connection I think to having any good relationship is just the ideal of sending love out to the world and letting things fall back into place and let nature take its course. You know what I'm saying? For example, this one meditation here is we've read this a couple times on the show before, and we're going to do it again. So here we go. Today, I send love to this world, and I call everyone my friend, regardless of who they are or what they've done, for I see only the Spirit of God in every person, including myself. I love the completeness I am, the selfhood of God. We all share as our eternal reality. I look within to this magnificent self, and I say, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I love all my neighbors on earth as I love myself, for we are one. I love unconditionally. I give my love freely, and that love returns to me in bountiful measure. I am worthy of love, of giving love, and I accept the love of others. I think of all the people I know by name, and I feel the harmlessness and harmony that exists between us. I look at my family unit, and I see only the expression of love, goodwill, kindness, and respect among all members. I am thankful for my friends, and I see our relationships deepening in love, joy, and mutual understanding. And I know there is a special someone with overflowing love to share who right at this moment is being attracted to the love I have to give. Two flames soon uniting as one in a bond of love and ecstasy. Love is everything. Oh, how I love love. And then my favorite one is the idea of prosperity. And this one goes basically when we sort of focus on what we really want, which is the ideal of what we want coming in, unlimited source. This one here goes, my conscious awareness of the divine presence within me as my supply is my supply. I am now consciously aware of this indwelling fountain of overflowing abundance. Therefore, I am abundant supply. My consciousness is the very energy of money. I am the spirit of infinite plenty, individualized. I am boundless abundance, and with love in my heart, I let the universal riches stream forth into perfect manifestation. What is expressed in love must be returned in full measure. Therefore, wave after wave of visible money supply flows to me now. I am wonderfully rich in consciousness, and I am bountifully supplied with money. I now realize my plan for abundant living. I see my bank account always filled with an all-sufficiency to meet every need with a divine surplus. I see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all, according to the guidance of spirit. I happily see every bill paid and joyfully see every obligation met. Now, with great delight, I see the abundance continuing to flow to me. I am a divine magnet for money, and as I lovingly receive it, I lovingly use it with great wisdom. Thank you. So with that situation, we're going to keep moving on here. But I always like to keep things in certain things. Abundance and prosperity and love all go hand in hand. So we have to look at those situations for what they are and just say exactly what we want. So let's go into our first caller and then start doing some readings tonight. What do you say? Let's answer some questions. All right. Let's go into our first caller, which is area code 404. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. How are you? Area code 404. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Hello? Area code 404. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name? All righty. Okay, let's go on to... Okay, let's try this again. Let's go on to area code 812. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, this is Cheryl from Indiana.
What's your first name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. So how you doing, Cheryl?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now, the first thing I wanted to say off the bat is just the idea of before you ask your question, I wanted to look at 812 in my angel book. I have this book by Dorian Virtue called Angel Numbers 101. I want to see how it reflects in your life right now at this moment. Because I know I've done this myself, where I've sit there and seen numbers throughout the day, and I come back and look at this book. It's amazing how they had a tendency to do with what was going on at the moment. 812. Trust that your prayers, affirmations, visualizations about your career and finances are working, because they are. So go ahead, Cheryl, ask your question. I mean, I don't know, does that kind of does that go along with what's going on in your life right now, or what?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
yes, I'm doing a lot of struggling with my relationship and finances, and I was just wondering if the angels could have any messages for me that might give me some guidance.
Well, the first one I get is the idea of letting go of your relationship. And what I mean by letting go, I'm not saying giving up, I'm saying letting go. It's like you really attach yourself to it because of your fears. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because you're so fearful that it's not going to happen the way you want it to, or even the idea of unfavorable things that you've had in the past of reoccurring that you're hanging on tightly. So there, I keep getting this really strong impression to let go of it. And also the idea of clinging so tightly to your relationship, it's affecting money flowing into your life, because the idea of really hanging on to something is really focusing on the lack of, as in the fact that the lack of trust in the relationship itself also kind of like blends out into the lack of trust in everything. So it affects everything. And since you're focusing on these two things at this time, these are the two things that are going to be affected, because these are the two things that are on your mind. And it's the one thing I got the clearest is to focus on detaching yourself from this relationship and trusting not just the person you're with and the situation, but also trusting yourself that you've made a decision that you're not going to attract things anymore. You're going to focus on exactly what you want. And the process of not getting what you want really puts it out there that you haven't really put out enough love, which means you're focusing on thinking too much. That's what it means. It's not saying you're not a loving person. It's saying that you're thinking too much. In the process of thinking and what should I do? Thinking of what should I do? You know, thinking what's the best course of action? When it's the idea of getting back to your heart, taking all the energy that you've got that's working that brain and bring it back down to the heart center where it belongs. Because
okay.
you yourself have noticed in the past that when you follow your heart, things get great. Things are good. And that's the idea also, focusing on when things happen, that very first thing that comes across in the process of wanting a solution is the thing that you need to follow through with, because you have a tendency to second guess yourself. Does that make
right.
sense to you?
Yes, it does. And I feel like I'm at a point where I need to let go of my marriage, because it's always been a struggle, and then I don't feel like I'm going to be able to follow my purpose or have any kind of financial relief if I don't go through with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like you said, I second guess myself, and
yeah.
I'm afraid of, will I be okay, you know, if I do it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because it's one of those things, like you said before, I've always talked to a lot of people, and it seems like everybody knows what to do. It's just the idea of taking the courage to follow through.
Well, that's what I was hoping they would, you know, let me know if I'm doing the right thing.
Well, it's like I said before, to thyself be true. In the process
right.
of doing what everybody else thinks that you should do, then you're not listening to yourself, and you're actually disrespecting exactly where you're supposed to be at. Because I always feel like in situations, especially like this, a lot of people get into the moral implication of not realizing sometimes there's a false sense of responsibility, as in giving to everybody else when you should be focusing on yourself. And then when you start focusing on yourself, everything else has a tendency to get clearly. So you get clearer because now you know why.
Right.
Because when you sit here, trace the situation back, really. Trace it back. When, before you got married, and the questions that were already coming to the surface already.
Yeah. You're right.
So just be true to yourself and say, okay, I made a mistake. Now I have a perfect opportunity to correct that mistake and get back on the path that I was destined to be on in the first place. This is something that you were doing to please everybody. That's my impression.
Yeah. Okay, well that helps a lot.
And if you get a chance, please give me a call and take advantage of these rates we're having right now. And like I tell everybody, when you take advantage of a 30 or 60, well, actually it's 40, 20 or 60-minute session, you can do anything you want in those things. And it can be life coaching. It could be anything that you need at that time. And the thing that comes to me the most is the idea of focusing on past lives that can actually help you with the situation of what's going on right now. I think that would really help you out. And it's just always the reason I really stress with the idea of doing private sessions with a past life regressions or even past life readings is because it does take a lot of time, a lot of focus.
Okay.
So if you get a chance, I'm just saying, I think it would really benefit you. So therefore, if you consider that, just be sure, just give me a call. We'll sit there and work out something.
Okay. Where do I go to?
Oh, okay. What you need to do is you can call me after the show, which is 740-500-8863. And then when it comes to you decide you want to get one, then you go to my website, which is which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com.
Okay.
And I think you just go in there and click on it because I redid everything where everybody can make it easier for people. Just go in there. And if you have trouble with any of the buttons, just hit the donation button. It always works. And just click on that. All right. And seriously, I look forward to sitting down with you because I feel like we could really trace back to at least two lifetimes that could actually help you understand why there are certain things happening now. It's almost like when we talk about baggage, sometimes baggage can go back a couple lifetimes. So. It's good to trace
and then
it back.
We can kind of change things now.
It's the idea of realizing that if you go back to what I always sit here and tell people, it's like I've done this myself. You can also do regressions in an existing lifetime where you go back to like this lifetime, you go back to like an accident or something where you can find out certain things you're hanging on to. Like maybe you felt guilty because you had an accident and you feel like it was your fault. And that's still hanging with you. Sometimes you can take it back. I had a lady. We took it, for example, there was a lady, there was a girl actually, she was 8 years old, and she had a real phobia of closets. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And when she was progressed back to find out why, she was taken back to the 1800s. Okay?
Uh-huh.
She was taken back to the 1800s where she realized she had been buried alive in a coffin. And what was so, and people and was like one of those incredible things was once she realized that she didn't have that phobia no more of closets, confined areas. And the reason I sit here and might sound like a simple thing, I'm not scared of closets no more. But see, it also opened up a different world for her. She'd get on elevators, she wouldn't go upstairs. I mean, it was like this part of her life she couldn't experience because the phobia. Once the phobia is gone, then she could ride in elevators and she could just open up a different part of her life. And it really changed a lot because it actually took her to a progression where she got a job, something that she'd always wanted to do, which was actually on the 8th floor. Before that,
wow.
she wouldn't have gone through that process. Then she would have still been confined and she wouldn't have experienced and gotten that job that she's always wanted to do. So you see, it makes a big difference. So,
right.
That's amazing.
Okay.
So.
Well, thank you so much. And I'll check that out then.
Oh,
I'll go
no
to
problem.
Your website.
You're
okay,
welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call and you have a great night and have a great weekend. I guess we still got some Thanksgiving weekend going here.
Right.
So you have a great night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Alrighty. Let's see here. I was kind of figuring who the heck that was. Okay. Let's go back to try this one again. Area code 404. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name? Hello? Area code 404. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hello? Yes, we're talking to you. Anyway, let's take this moment here and sit here and tell everybody if you want to give a call in and get a couple questions answered, give us a call at 646-721-9031. And like we were talking to the previous caller, Cheryl, if you want to take advantage of the rates, it's $33.33 for a 60-minute reading, and that's incredible. And we also have some other rates, too, as well. For a 40-minute reading, it's only going to cost you $22.22. And for a 20-minute reading, it's only $11.11, and that's actually good until the end of the year. So get in there, take advantage of those prices. Buy one for a friend. Take advantage of the situation, like Cheryl, sit down, and we could actually do a past life regression for you, and you can see how important that can really be of actually letting go of some things that you need to let go of realizing if they're in the past that far, what's the point of hanging on to them? And it's really one of those eye-openers, and it definitely helps you get rid of a lot of baggage. So we're going back to area code 404 and tell her she's on the air, and welcome to the show, and what's your name? Hello? Area code 404. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Okay. Let's go on to... Let's see here. Well, like I said, if you guys want to give a call in here, pick up the phone and give us a call at 646-721-9031. Now, when you do that, it's one of those credible situations where you get a couple questions answered. We like to take our time with people, too, as well. We don't like to scoot you down the road. And also, it is now 12:10 a.m. here on the East Coast. It's November 26, 2011. And thank you for joining us. This is Psychic X Journey Man, your host. And this is Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link. Now, let's get on with the callers. Tell everybody thank you for all calling in here. We love it. And you're going to love it, right? Let's see. All right. Let's go on to our next caller. Okay, one more time. Click, click, click. Okay, here we go. Area code 210. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Were you the one that just tried to call me through Skype?
I did, and unfortunately, I feel terrible that, I don't know, it was not well received.
No, that's okay. I was just sitting there going, okay, someone's calling me, and I didn't recognize the phone number, so I was like, who is that? So that's one of those things. Okay, it happens all the time, tell you the truth.
Phone numbers, person answered, it was not well received, so I apologize. So how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. Okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. And so can you just give me maybe a message from my father something else that comes to mind, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always tell people when they call with the idea of doing mediumship, sometimes it's the ideal that they're there before you showed up. If they don't come through, then it's one of those things where I just... Whoever comes through, come through. With the idea of... You know, I get the impression of your father. I just keep getting tired. Almost like it has something to do with the idea of things that were surrounding him when he passed. Does that make sense?
I'm nodding, perhaps. Maybe that would apply to a lot of people, but I guess anyway. So
mm-hmm.
I'm someone who absolutely believes 110% in mediumship and the gift of this. So if you'd like me to ask a question, I just feel as though maybe.
Yeah, sometimes I do have a tendency to do that when I sit here and I I don't want people to ask questions, but sometimes it seems like the thing that came to me the most was the idea of saying, could you just give me like a birthday or something? Or was I connecting? Because I always tell people, I don't contact them. They contact me or they come through me.
By the way, I noticed Taurus. You're a Taurus?
Yes.
Okay, and I am too, but I'm not big into the whole, I don't really know anything about what differentiates, but I can tell you that I am too, so whatever that's worth. Maybe we can connect on that basic level. But if you have anything, any kind of guidance, I don't usually do this sort of thing. I've been told I have a gift. in this regard, but, you know, it's, I'm kind of reaching out tonight. So there's anything.
Well, that's kind of funny because actually, well, the one thing I got the most with the situation is the idea of, oh, so you're not testing me?
Oh, no. No.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. But the thing that came to me the most when we were sitting there talking, it was just like a message came through real quickly where it said, the reason you're not picking up on this person is because she needs to. It's one of those things of connecting. Because I've had this happen a couple of times where I couldn't connect with somebody, but the person I was talking to definitely knew they were there and definitely felt their presence and that kind of stuff.
I don't get it. I'm confused.
You don't
get it. Pick up on myself, right?
Yes. It's the idea of the connection.
So I'm not sure what you're...
No, the way it came to me is the idea of that reason I can't connect with him is because he's with you.
Aww.
And that they're actually prompting you to sit there and open up and communicate, where it was almost like I get an impression. The first thing I got was a connection to the kitchen, and I saw the ideal communication. I got a vision of you guys sitting at a kitchen table talking to each other. And I'm not trying to push it back on you, but actually with the situation of him being around you and wanting to, almost like you get a really strong communication of wanting to talk to you.
This is strange that nothing's really resonating
with you,
isn't it? It that's in, like, I'm in a graduate program. I should come up with a million different ways of describing.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, we used to always connect in the kitchen. I happen to have a beautiful kitchen with granite and stainless steel, and, you know, this would be an opportunity. We would bake pies or whatever when my grandmother was alive. But I don't think that would really be the case with my dad.
Well, when it comes to me, the vision I saw was you guys sitting at the kitchen table, but it also said it was a reference to, it was a reference to now.
All sorts of things, right? So I'm doing all this graduate work and creative work on my kitchen table. So maybe, right?
So for example, you spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and he's trying to connect with you. That's where it would happen.
And
you
beautiful home, but I'm spending all this time in the kitchen table. That's true. So, okay. Picking up enough of your time today, right? So thank you.
Oh, no problem. The one thing that came across me, too, is the ideal of really working on meditation. Also, the thing that came to me was a dream journal. Because I feel like there is some dreams that are going to be coming up that actually are going to have him in them. It's like it starts off, that's the way it starts off, the communication between the two of you, as in more open up than talking. And like I said before, I actually see actual conversations, not just a couple of things here and there. I saw the kitchen, and I saw the focus on meditation, and the idea of opening up. And this might sound crazy, but I know for a fact that when I started picking up things with objects, like people would give me things, and I could tell you exactly who gave it to you, what it was all about, the connections and everything. But before that happened, I was doing some really intense meditations and really opening myself up to everything that was coming through. There's also one prayer that you could do. It's basically work with Archangel Michael. And what you do is you ask Archangel Michael to come in and be by your side and protect you and let only God's love and wisdom to come through. And you can also do this with mediumship too as well, of letting just loved ones to come through. So nothing else could actually interfere with you. You're protected. And a lot of people have a tough time doing that and opening themselves up unconditionally because of that fear of what could come in too. And this way, it takes that fear off. It opens you up to, you feel safe. When you feel safe, you open up more. And the connections come very clearly and very strongly. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
All right.
What's that? I'm sorry.
No, I...
Well, you have a...
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah, you fade in a couple times, so.
Okay. I felt like saying from one torch to another, but sincerely, I thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Sometimes that's what happens when you have people like two earth signs. It's hard to talk to each other because we're on the same page a lot.
And I don't know, you know, sometimes people receive the whole Taurus thing as like a real negative thing. I don't know if you're used to that, but that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then other people can just perceive me as being, you know.
I get the impression. I like being a Taurus because you can actually connect and be, because you're, I mean, well, me personally, I'm actually triple earth. I got Taurus, I've got Virgo, I think Virgo moon, and a Capricorn a rising sign. So I like the ideal because I feel like the more grounded you are, it's like a generator. If you've ever been around a generator, around concerts and stuff, like the generator is grounded with a copper rod, and I feel like the more grounded you are, the clearer the messages are. So people, I've got to the point right now where it's, I don't really let a lot of things interfere because people have their opinions and their perceptions, and so do I. So I think it's a very good thing because we're very compatible. I think we can be compatible with almost any one of the signs in the zodiac.
And I don't really know if, like, does this mean, you know, because even though I'm an earth sign and I have such great connection with the water and dolphins, and I'm picking up far too much of your time. So that's all I know.
I think that you have some Cancer too. That's a water sign. And I've always seen Cancer. Yeah.
My grandmother is like she passed, but she's, you know, she was a Cancer, and she was, so that's
mm-hmm.
all I know about Cancer.
That would explain a lot of things too.
But she was just, she's so close to my heart. So.
Mm-hmm.
And her service was just off of Newport Beach, and all of these beautiful memories felt like
right.
So, kind of, anyway, thank you for taking all this time with me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Alrighty, let's go on to that one. Just kind of crazy. Let's see here. Okay, one more time. The area code 678. You're welcome to the show. You're on the air. And what's your name?
Hey, my name is Donna. Can you hear me?
If there's any chance you could speak up or turn something up or something like that, I can hear you, but barely.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe I can turn mine up. Go ahead. You say your name is Donna?
Yes, I'm getting a real bad echo, though.
Okay.
Can I hang up and call back in?
Yeah, go right ahead. We still got about an hour and 8 minutes left. Yeah, sure, do that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, let's go on to our next caller real quick. One more time. Area code 562. Welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your name?
It's Steve. Hi, Donnie. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Steve. How's it going with you?
Good. I have nothing to ask. I'm just listening. I haven't talked to you in ages.
Oh, okay. Well, no problem. I'll put you back on listening mode. That's no problem. Sometimes I don't know what this new switchboard. I don't know if people want to get on or don't. It's kind of a different format, so I...
It doesn't show the hands raised?
There's no hands. All I get is these little yellow things with question marks.
Oh, no wonder. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's no problem.
Are you any closer? Are you getting any closer to getting to Colorado?
Well, actually, I've changed my direction. I've been trying to change that. I finally got another laptop and computers and actually doing a little bit differently where I've actually got some stronger internet. And so I've actually been able to go in there and change some things on my show because actually now I've changed it where I, I got this vision of going to England and going to this college called, it's called Arthur Findlay College, which is actually a college for spiritualists, mediums.
Spiritualist, yeah, he was a famous spiritualist.
Mm-hmm. I went on the internet. I saw this place, and they have pictures like of the front lobby and stuff like that. And I saw this picture, and I also saw myself standing in that room. And all of a sudden,
wow.
It was just one of those things that being pulled in that direction. So my friend said, "Well, why don't you switch things now? Because if you've gotten that vision, more or less, your direction has changed." And so I was like, "Yeah, for some reason, I want to go to England." And I really want to go to the school. So I started changing the whole thing and said, hey, if you guys could donate and help me to get there, I really appreciate it. And if you just want to support the show, that's fine too. To me personally, anytime anybody donates anything to the show, I mean, it's one of those appreciations where I just really kind of, sometimes I get overwhelmed with the whole thing going, okay, someone actually did that. But
you would take your skills to the next level, huh?
Well, see, I got all these gifts and stuff, and I just wanted I was in the process of praying and saying that I want to take all my gifts and I want to enhance them all, so therefore I can give more back.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this came to the forefront, and some of these classes and stuff, I was looking for a way to, because I heard about this school. I was actually reading some books by John Holland. He actually went there. And I found the back of it. Well, I had his book, but I actually gave it to a friend of mine. So I was like, I don't have a book. What can I do? I said, well, he's got a website. So I went to the website and found it there. And now, if you go to my website, you actually find out I have a link page now where every time I get some links that I want to share with everybody, I put it there. And that was the very first one I put up there. And plus, Edgar Cayce,
the Sleeping Prophet.
Yes, and I was sitting there going. Sometimes I'm having a problem with some of these people with Edgar Cayce because of some of the expectation. Because I've studied Edgar Cayce, and he wasn't one of those people who was really into being rich.
Right.
He just liked the idea of sharing and kind of things like that. And I saw this foundation, this other place, which kind of freaked me out because some of the things they were asking for. It was kind of weird because some of the money they were asking for were like in the thousands of dollars and.
Is this ARE?
I think. Don't quote me on that one because I was actually, at that day I saw that, I was actually looking at two or three of them.
Right.
But I did put one of the links on my show page, on my website. So you can go there and click on the link and check it out. That was the one I liked.
Does Desiree she still have a show?
First of all, I don't know who Desiree is. Maybe I do.
Oh, my God. She used to help run your show for a while. And then she had her own show, Reading Cards.
Oh, Desiree. Smack
yeah.
me, man. Because I was like, she's not listening. Because I was like, I went blank for a minute. But, yeah, Desiree had a show called, what was it called? Adored Angel, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I really don't know. I've talked to her a couple of times, and right now there's actually this magazine. I think it's called Bell Spirit Magazine, which is going to be an internet magazine coming out in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to be writing a column in there.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm kind of freaked out about it, to tell you the truth, because it's like one of those things. Go, oh, so a lot of people are going to see this. So I was trying to put two and two together and stuff, and I was like, I've already got it in my head. I'm one of those people. I don't write down drafts. I keep it in my head.
Right.
And then I'll put it down, and then I'll put it out right then there. So that's what's going to happen. Because I got it in my head. I know exactly what to write, what to do, and that kind of stuff. I just have all this information, what it is, to share with everybody. And I want to, you know, my biggest thing with relationships is to help people realize you can have what you want. But you have to also let yourself do that. Because a lot of people have a tendency to go, well, what, you know, they've gotten into the mode of what they're willing to settle or what they're willing to, you know, that little sacrifice people call it. So what am I willing to have?
I know, I'm thinking, I can't think of it. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, some people, it's compromise.
Right.
What am I willing to compromise to get, not realizing they can actually focus and get exactly what they want. I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I like that journal I had that, on that one relationship I was working with, where I'd gone back in and read the journal, and I didn't realize that the one thing I wrote down that I hesitated about was the particular relationship I was in. The girl actually took off and left me, and didn't really give me any nothing. Just took off and left me. So I was in my journal and I was reading it, and it said, "Write down what you want to happen. What do you want?" I said, "Well, first of all, I had to sit there and make a decoration that I do want her," and I did. And then it came up, I was sitting right now, I was like, you know something, she should come back and pick me up, since she's what took off and left, right?
I hesitated for a minute.
I said, can I really write that down? And I was like, almost like my angels came in and said, "Well, didn't we say, write down what you want?" And I said, "Well, I want her to come back and pick me up, since she took off and left me, right?" So I wrote that down, and I basically forgot all about it. And then when we got back together, I told everybody, it was one of those things, don't ever sit there and put things in reality, as in the sense of what's going on right that moment. It's the idea of focusing on what you want. Because this here was like, I was in Ohio, she took off and left and went to her mother's, which was in Florida. And I always had that freaking strange feeling that's where she went. And then it was confirmed for me. And I said, "That's crazy, isn't it?" And we're sitting here going, I can't read, some people say, some psychics say they can't read themselves. I said, "That's ridiculous, because intuition and psychic ability is actually for people to follow." So in the process of following it, they're listening to themselves, right? And they're listening to
right.
their angels.
Right, right.
So that's what I did. I sit here and said, "Okay, God, angels," I let go of it, put it in their hands, and said, "Okay." And then I found out she's in Florida. That's 1,200 miles. And I had to step back and go, take a deep breath and realize what I want and let that go. And then a way will be made for that distance to be covered.
Right.
Right?
Surrender.
So I sit there and I did. Oh, yeah, I surrendered. And next thing I know, 2 days later, a friend of mine I had been working with for like 6 months with the carnival, he came to me and said he was going to Tampa. after we got done with everything we had to do, and the actually we were in the final stages of the season being ended, where we were actually cleaning rides up and waxing and all kinds of good stuff and putting them away. And as soon as that was done, he was going to go to Tampa. Well, I found out later on that she was in St. Petersburg, around that area, which is actually 15 miles from Tampa. Next thing you know, here comes Chuck, comes to me and says, "I'm going to Tampa. You're more than welcome to ride with me." Next thing you know, I went from 1,200 to 15 miles. And
synchronicity.
Here's the thing. Huh?
Synchronicity.
Yes, and then the other part that I actually wrote down in my journal, where I said I wanted her to come pick me up and take me home, she came the last 15 miles and picked me up, and we went bowling, and she took me home with her.
Wow.
So see, the whole thing fell into place.
Johnny's excellent adventure.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need a partner.
Are you still in Ohio?
Unfortunately, yes.
Was it Lima, Ohio? Was it Lima, Ohio? I forgot the name of the city.
It doesn't matter. Any place in Ohio sucks.
I'm from Cleveland, I believe me. I know what you mean. The weather alone.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. I used to have a joke, and I was trying not to be negative, but I was sitting there going, isn't it crazy? They think Ohio is the heart of the country, right? And I said, that's why the country's going down the tubes. It's called heart disease. But I'm boom, boom.
The Buckeye
we'll go past
State.
That.
The Buckeye State.
Yeah, it's a Buckeye State, and people have eaten too many Buckeyes. I'm telling you, they're all poisoned. But it is. So I was sitting there crazy. So, yeah, I'm still in Ohio. I'm actually down here helping my brother. He lives in Virginia, but he has a house here, and he has some really bad renters, and they trashed that.
So they why do they do that? Is it because they get evicted?
No. See, the problem is they're not willing to look at what they've done, how they've created the situation. You're getting evicted. Why are you getting evicted? Well, it's everybody else's fault. Really? Maybe
right,
they have nothing
right.
to do with paying, not paying
right.
the rent, huh?
Right.
And it was kind of funny too, because the kind of realization that came to me was, my ex-girlfriend, the one I just told you about, we actually moved into my brother's house. And she found it very offensive to pay rent. And
oh,
I was like,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Because every time my brother would come to me and say, well, I need some rent. And we did a lot of work in the house. I mean, the water main got busted. We had to fix that. That was like $800. But he gave us 2 months rent for free. But, it was one of those things. It finally came to the point where she said, I'm sick of paying rent. And I was like, you haven't paid rent yet. it was one of those situations. I said, what is your problem? And she goes, well, I think he should give us more time. I said, he gave us 2 months. It's $500 a month. You have a water main that breaks, it's $800. He kind of overextended a little bit because that's not $1,000. $500 is $1,000. So I was trying to talk to her about the whole thing. But see, the point of the whole thing is the realization is that's who she is. And it just
she's got the entitlement issues, feels she's entitled to everything.
Yeah, not realizing. No, we used to do this with a I do relationship counseling and life coaching. And I was telling everybody, it's kind of amazing when you work with people and you start seeing these patterns with people. And I'm one of those people that I don't try to group people in these big patterns. I even look at the individual. But this certain individual had that thing where it's like, it's all out there. Not realizing what's inside has created all the things on the outside and all the things that fell into place. And sometimes when you do get into relationships and she's thinking to herself that everything is going to come piling down on her, eventually it does. And it's just one of those things that, you know, like attracts like. And my first thing was asking myself, well, how did I attract this person? You know,
exactly.
The reflection itself, what was going on. And, you know, she had a bad temper, so did I. I learned how to, so it was one of those things of clarification and realizing I have a bad temper, but see, I had gone through stages, you know, anger management, and dealt with it. She had not.
Exactly.
You see? Yeah, she had not done that. So therefore, the tempers attracted each other, but it was like trying to give you the side, you know, here's one balanced and here's another one's not balanced. And it's the same thing with the whole relationship, how it reflects the good and the bad. Or, good and evil. And people go, evil? Well, you don't call her evil. No, I'm saying the things that she had created were out of fear. Like we were sitting here talking about friends, for example. I was reading this book called 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. I can't remember the lady's name.
Oh, by Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Yeah, I bought that book for
Yes. Yes, that's a very good book.
I mean, I don't agree with everything, but a lot of the stuff she says on her radio show and
right.
her books is truthful and very valid. But I think she personally has some issues herself that she needs to deal with. But a lot
right.
of the stuff is good common sense, yeah. You know.
That's probably why she wrote the book. But but I would say, chapter 9 was a good one because it's talking about family and friends. And it's basically talking about the reason you don't really put a – you have to understand that in the process of your life and proceeding up to, you know, being with a certain kind of person in a relationship, that there's going to be friends in the process of being with that person. There's going to be friends that are going to leave your life because of selection. You've made a conscious choice. You want to be happy and you want to be with the right person. And it's like trying to help people understand that some of the friends that you acquired were in the stages of when you were making decisions through your fears.
Mm-hmm.
So you also attract people in your life. They're going to validate those and back you up on them. And then when you meet the right person, basically some things that I read with the book where it was saying people make excuses when they get to a certain point of being in a good relationship. They start saying, well, my friends and family are very important, which means I'm scared to death of what's going on.
Exactly, fear.
Yeah, it's fear. Because, okay, in the process of being with this person, making this choice, they start thinking of things they're going to have to give up because they already know it. But it's also this. It's also when you – it's like – because I was sitting there telling a friend, I said, look at an example, okay? You got a guy here, and everybody's sitting there going, okay, what for this example, the guy has the good friends and the girl who don't. And the reason what I'm saying is the guy has all these people coming in. He meets this girl. All his friends are very supportive. They're also very respectful. So when he's with his girlfriend and they call – they have a tendency to go, oh, I'm sorry, I will call you back or you call me back. Okay? They're very respectful of the relationship and the woman and him. So that's the good side. On the bad side, the reason you can tell that some of these friends have been created because of the fears you've gone through or the fears you're still hanging on to is those friends, when they call, they're demanding, I need your attention now. Or they'll sit there and say, "What? He wants you to spend time with him. You tell him stop controlling you. And
exactly.
You deserve to have friends. And you deserve to be with your friends and your family." What it's saying is, we're selfish. And we know for a fact, if you go with this guy, we're history. but see, they don't respect the relationship. And really, they don't respect the woman. And she don't see it. Because she's so caught up in the fear of what she's going to have to let go of, that she sees these people and very supportive, and being there for her. She doesn't realize what's going on, really. Is she's they're found. That's almost like the idea of the foundation. She has no foundation except for the fears. And this guy comes in her life who's giving her not just stability, but also giving her a reflection of what she can have. So therefore, she can't have it. But the friends, I think they also see it too, and they're going, no, no, no. We can't do that because we're the ones. It's like they have insecurities of their own, and it's reflected mm-hmm. through the whole thing, and whether they won't let go, you know. But also the situation is she won't let go of the friends either, so it's a reflection back and forth. But see, we have this good example of this thing coming because some people wonder sometimes, okay, how can two people like that meet when we say like attracts like? Well, it's to realize that what she sees, she can have, and what she sees is within her, but she is not willing to let go of the illusion.
Yeah, like attracts like, but also opposites attract. So
yeah,
both are valid.
Right, but see, sometimes when you sit there and see the opposites attract that scenario, when you are with that person, there's a lot of times the things that they have done or things that you think that it's an opposite thing, you find out in the course of the relationship that those things are what you do. But you never had opportunities to bring those things out in yourself.
Right, or you were too inhibited, or they do things you always wanted to do but never were able to for whatever reason.
Yeah, exactly. Because, for example, I've had some people, the one fiance I told you about, she told me one time, she goes, one thing I don't like about you is you're always right. I said, oh, you mean I think I'm right? And she goes, no, you're always right. See, the reflection is, she didn't realize me reflecting back to her, which she was never right. It's because the reflection is you can be right, but you're feeding into the wrong people, or you're not listening to yourself. That's the big thing. You're not listening to yourself. You're not following your heart. You're doing everything that everybody thinks you should do, and not just that you're mad at the world, but you're mad at yourself. But see, you'd rather be the world than blame yourself and realize that everything you've done up to that point, you made the decisions for them to happen, and you put yourself in those scenarios. I always tell people when you see a reflection, it's just showing you, yeah, okay, you made some poor choices, but did you really make any poor choices? They were just paths you chose to see things about yourself. You learned a lot of things about yourself. Now you're to this point here and just realize that maybe you had to go through those little scenarios to this one point, and hopefully you'll see this guy for what he is what you felt like you deserved, and you attracted him.
Well, Donnie, so how do you explain what it is when you go into a room of people you've never met before, and you see somebody and they just have an instant dislike to you? What is it that they're reacting to, chemically, I mean?
Well, a lot of times those people are almost identical.
Uh-huh.
And they don't like each other.
I mean, one person may feel neutral, and the other person just has an intense dislike or is repelled.
Well, sometimes when you have someone come around, they have an instant dislike to you.
Yeah, right.
A lot of times
that happens many times.
Yeah, because I think that I've had a lot of people do that. I've had people look at me in a certain way, but once they get to know me, they change their attitude.
Right.
What's
the instant thing about, you know, the initial reaction all about?
Well, sometimes if you listen to their thoughts.
Is this something from a past life where they maybe?
It has been said that people who have past lives usually have past lives with a whole bunch of, you know, a group of people and stuff like that, using the same area.
But a lot
of times with situations, a person will come and have an instant dislike to you because of where you are in your life, that they wish they were there too.
Okay. And they're not aware of it on some level, maybe.
No, a lot of times they just react and go, look at this ass.
Right. Okay.
when it's like, that's what I want to be.
So it's like a resentment.
It's an instant resentment because, you know, when you talk about past lives, it could actually be somebody you've known in a past life, but also you've always gone and you've always done what you want. You've always done and you've always taken advantage of every opportunity that came to you. Here's a person who had not just in one life, not just in this lifetime, but many lifetimes. So it's not an instant dislike. Sometimes it could be a dislike over 200 years.
Oh, unreal.
And just at that point, it's instant. Hello, I don't like you. I never liked you last time or this time.
Right. There's a recognition on some level, unconscious level.
Yeah, exactly. they've already had a dislike to you once before. Because, I mean, think about this. We've had people who have instant connections with people on a good level.
Exactly.
So, of course they're going to happen on a negative level, too, as well. Instant connections. But like I tell everybody else, just because you have a connection with somebody, I think these are also prime examples that just because you have a connection with somebody doesn't mean you have to associate with them.
Right, right. Because it might not be a healthy connection in the long run.
That's what. Because I've had a couple of sessions I've had with people who are with their soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's beating her up and all kinds of stuff. And she's like, well, since he's my soulmate, I got to deal with this. This is a learning lesson. Yeah, it's a learning lesson. Of course it is. It's to get the hell out. And realize
exactly.
That. He's not honoring. See, the point is not a pre. This is almost like, of course he has issues, but is it really her responsibility at this time to help him with his issues? Because, first of all, he's not dealing with them because he's taking it basically out of her.
Right.
So therefore, the learning lesson, I would say, is she needs to understand that there's nothing to deal with. There's also no one doing anything to you that you're not allowing to happen in the first place.
Exactly.
So you walk away. Because I've actually had this conversation with some people, too, who've been sexually abused and all that kind of stuff. And I had two different people that had come to me and explained to me that what we were saying about making conscious choices not to put yourself in certain situations. I had one lady who was – we're not going to mention any names. We had a lady who was actually 8 years old who was in a situation – who was sexually molested, but she also said that even at that age, there was an intuitional thing kicking in saying, don't do this, or this person is bad, or stay away from this person. And I've heard that several times where people, you know, you could take it down, a lot of people who sit there and go, well, they were too young to understand what their intuition was all about. Yeah, but are we really too young to understand what bad is, or a strange feeling of not going there?
Right.
Maybe, you know, and there was another lady who was actually was a realtor who had gotten beat up and raped and left in the house for dead. And it was kind of amazing when this woman said she took 100% accountability for her actions and what happened to her. And she had to explain to everybody. She's not taking accountability for his actions. What she's doing is she's taking accountability for her decisions because she said – her intuitions and her angels were talking to her, even as she was walking up the stairs, as she was walking up the sidewalk to show this house, they were saying, turn around and go home. Well, she decided that money was more important than she was.
Oh.
So you see the example.
The lesson. Yeah.
Right. So she goes up there, all this stuff happens to her. But see, she came to a point in her life where she realized that. But was everybody else saying, well, don't become a victim? She said, I'm not taking a victim. I'm not taking accountability for his actions. You know, he's an ass. He is what he is. But if I would have listened, it would have never happened to me.
Right.
She goes, maybe someone else would get, you know, maybe someone else would have, I mean, probably did get raped and that kind of stuff. But see, we can't take responsibility for everybody in this lifetime. I think if we take responsibility for ourselves, it has a major positive effect on everybody anyway.
And I heard someone say on the radio today that when you take responsibility for other people and try to help all these other people, that you take on some of their karma as well.
I don't think you can be affected by anybody else's decisions and their life lessons. I think it's one of those things if we get ourselves into a situation where we do take on that responsibility, because you know when we sit here and do this kind of format, all we're doing is giving people information, and we're there for them, but it's up to them to. It's up to them what they got to do.
Because you're the same person calling several shows asking the same question like 10 different times. You know, so.
But see, I was talking to a friend of mine about that too, and I said, you know something? Let's take the responsibility of what that person's looking for. They're still looking for answers, and maybe we're just reading it on the surface, and I think maybe it's our responsibility to get a little deeper into the situation of saying, okay, what's this lady really looking for? Because I was starting talking to the lady one day, I was like, what do you really want? She goes, I want this guy. I want a guy with dark hair, blue eyes. I said, no, you don't. You do, but you don't. But what you're really looking for is you're looking for unconditional love. You're looking to be loved.
Right, that's the bottom line.
Right, so if we actually focused on the outcome of what we want, I'm not saying that you can't focus on these other things, but I know for a fact that when two people connect, it's in a this might sound crazy to some people, but when you first really connect in a spiritual sense, the spiritual part will connect first, and then the physical part. Because I've had a lot of women come to me.
How did you come to that conclusion?
Working as much as I have, working with people, is the ideal. I think the one thing we need to do is take responsibility of actually listening what people are saying, and then really going deeply and open ourselves up to see and hear the answers, and then realizing by telling them, say, okay, here's the message, here's the information, but if you decide you want to do totally the opposite, that's your will, you have free will to do whatever you want to do, and then leave it that way. But the thing I saw was just by observing people. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years. I do a lot of phone work, and I've worked with a lot of people, and I think realistically, this might sound crazy, but I was actually a comedian for a very long time, and one of those things I call observing. I'm an observationist. I observe things, and I think that was a really good lesson as in teaching me a lot of things, to watch people and their actions, what they say, and anything else, and realizing that if we would just be still, people will tell us everything we need to know. Because I told a friend of mine, so when you come in to get a reading with me, you come into my shop or come to my office, when I do a reading for you, I pay attention to everything, body, the way your mannerisms, your eyes, whatever, all the stuff, and then take a combination of the abilities, the psychic abilities, to go deeper behind that and to look. Because I had a lady call my show one day, too, that I know for a fact, because I've been a guest on other people's shows, and I heard her. And I tell people all the time, I said, that's not really a big problem. The problem I don't like is when you come to my show and you try to tell me you're somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Because, see, the one thing is, I used to work for Psychic Lines, and they used to have people call you and give you test readings. They'll call you up like they're somebody else. One guy did that one time. And he says, I'm calling you about, I wanted to get some information about a business decision about should I sell my ranch and should I go buy some property in the Midwest. And I was sitting there talking to the guys, and they're going, you know something, this is weird. And he goes, why? I said, because what you're asking is not who you are.
Oh.
And he said, yeah, because I'm getting information about you, relationships, and this woman, and that kind of stuff in your life. It has not. You don't even. I don't think you even own any property, in the as a ranch and that kind of stuff. And the guy came over and said, you know something, that's pretty good. He said, I'm now trying to figure out, because he said the reason I called you because you're not really making a lot of money, you're not getting a lot of minutes, and we called you to see why. And I said, and now he says I'm baffled more because you're really good. Well, thank you. But see, the one thing is, by working with these companies and stuff, the thing I used to like, which I'm trying to actually just go to personally, just working with people and getting away from the companies, because there's just too many restrictions. And all they are about is keeping you on the line.
Keep them on the line as possible.
Yeah, make money, 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 money. So in the process of observing these people, I've seen this connection where it seems like the one thing I used to notice, because I'll catch things, so, and it's almost like my angels and guides will also bring them to the forefront and say, okay, here's a person who met a guy that she's connected to, but she doesn't understand it because she was expecting a physical connection first.
Okay.
And after we saw this for a while, I started realizing, of course, to meet the right person or the significant other we're looking for is in twin flames, that's an essence. That's a spiritual essence. So, of course, that's going to be the first thing it comes across. And then when you meet that person, you get with that person, and you develop something between the two of you, then the physical comes in because you wanted to express it. Then it made perfect sense. But see, it was also in the situation of also I realized with people too, when you meet people, listen. And you'll know. I always tell, the biggest thing I tell everybody, follow your heart. I've had a lot of arguments. I've had a lot of people who agree. And it was one of those things of realizing that when you do those kind of things, it's going to happen. So understand, because the idea was giving the readings and getting the information that was coming through of helping people understand, when you meet this person, don't focus on the looks. Focus on what you feel. How does it resonate with you? Does it resonate in your heart? Does it resonate in your ass? These are signs, you know?
Great.
What's this going to be? Seriously, when I sit here and say ass, I should say it's more like That's a root chakra. So this person makes you feel insecure about something on some level. So pay attention to those. It's also the same thing with your solar plex, which has actually been said, this is a thing that's in control of your power and control. So a lot of times when you feel the butterfly effects, it's actually a warning. Not a good thing. It's a bad thing because it's saying to you, this person makes you feel somewhat out of control and powerless. And to me
personally,
yeah. So is it really a good thing? But it's also, like I said before, it's also how it resonates with you because, you know, it's like anything else. You know, you got two guys who will give roses to a woman. One wants to better and one wants to be with her, but they use the same technique. So you have to sit there and focus on what you feel to see who's real. You see that?
Yeah.
Focus on how does it feel to see if he's real. Don't think about it. Don't think what you should do because I've had a lot of women I've worked with too who said, well, I thought I should go out with this guy because I want to hurt his feelings. See,
so they weren't really listening to their heart. They're listening to their head.
Right, because the head says, you're going to hurt this guy if you said no. And I said, no, you don't. The guy needs to understand one thing. When he asked you out, there's two answers, a yes and a no. And you just gave him a yes, and then she said, I can't get rid of him. Well, whose fault's that?
Right. She didn't go with the gut instinct.
Yeah. So it's perfect. It makes perfect sense. And now I'm going to be writing a column about relationships. Do you think you think I'm qualified?
You most definitely are. You can write a book.
I know that's next. I think me personally, when I saw the potential of doing this column, I was like, I think this is going to be a motivation to do a book I've been wanting to do for a very long time, because I'm doing this in the sense of really wanting to help people understand it. We can all have great relationships. Because one thing I was really irritated with people too is to hear the one. It was like watching sitcoms, kind of like it. People think, you know, here's two people arguing. You guys act like you're married. To me, I think that's the most negative thing you could ever say, because you're criticizing a marriage, but you're also criticizing those two people. And I think we should take a step back and realize that marriage is just—it's a title, but marriage in itself is an individual thing between everybody else. To realize that to have a great marriage, that depends on the two individuals, nothing else. And if you have two individuals who bring everybody else into it, that kind of works against you. It has to go back. And that's what I'm saying before. I just want to write a book and say, okay, let's take relationships back to where they were. Two people. It's not a freaking sitcom. And it's not a freaking band. It's not a baseball team. It's actually two individuals creating something between the two of them. And I think when you let people interfere with that, it kind of kills the connection. Because you're being pulled in so many directions. Okay, my friends say this. And should I listen to my friends? Because I don't want to lose my friends. It's like I almost want to say to women. And the reason I say that is because the women I've worked with seem to have the most problem. And plus, there's a book that says 10 stupid things, and that's one of them. So you address it and say, okay, guys, this is the way it works. Family and true friends will never go away. They will always be there for you no matter what. The only difference is when you have friends and family who are always interfering, always telling you're messing up, always telling you you don't want to do this, or they give you the case scenario of all the bad things that could happen or the bad things this person could be, I would separate from those people. I would just say, forget this. Because, I mean, when I had my situation, my friends were always giving me the good scenarios, telling me all the positive things about the situation. And that's why I feel like I should put a lot of effort into it. And the other person...
But they weren't in the day in and day out in situation living with it like you were, so.
Right.
Hey, by the way, Johnny, she's also written a book called 10 Stupid Things Men Do to Mess Up Their Lives, just so you know.
Yes, I've read both of them. I've actually read the 10 Stupid Things Men Do to Mess Up Their Lives, the women mess up their lives, couples mess up their relationships, parents do the mess up their kids.
So do you think she's pretty valid in a lot of her points that she's making?
Well, it seems like a lot of women were really angry at her, not because the book wasn't correct, because it was just too real. And it was something they, you know, I think that in the process, I was telling people in the process of writing journals, that I think it's one of those things when you lose sight of what you're actually focusing on, journals are good. You can go back in and read what you already wrote. And with her books, the way they are, it gives you a reference to go to check out too, to say, hey, am I really doing these things? I always tell people, you know, when the things are coming to the forefront, and say you open that book up, and the very first thing that pops out is chapter 9, I think you should take a look at that and understand and ask why. Because I know every time I've ever opened a book and it fell into a certain page or a certain number in my angel book or whatever, it always had something to do with what was going on. So I feel like that's the reason I like the books and stuff, because it just gives you another way of looking at things. And they've also been classified as, that's like a miniature reading that you do for yourself. Just let the book fall open. Oh, I need to take a look at this. Am I letting my friends interfere with my relationships? And be honest with yourself. That's the biggest problem that people look at it and go, no.
Well, Donnie, it's been fun talking with you, but I got to do some other things. But I'd like to stay on and just kind of listen.
Okay, no problem. I can do that. No problem at all, man. Thank you. Oh, same here, man. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too. All right. I'm going to take a 2-minute break. And we'll be right back after this. We're going to play a song by Journey called Be Good to Yourself. And I'll be right back. To our next caller, area code 314. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
Thank you. Seasoned.
Susan?
Seasoned.
Actually, well, I prefer to use my nickname, so do you need my real name or my nickname?
Okay, what was your nickname again?
Seasons.
Seasons, okay. I was just making seasons, sure.
Seasons, like,
I mean,
like the seasons changing?
No, I understand.
Oh.
I just want to, you know, when you hear certain nicknames, you just want to make sure you're hearing what you're hearing, just to make sure, okay, someone's got a nickname like that. Okay, it's unusual, but at the same time, it's really cool that, you know, it's different. I like different things. It doesn't go with the norm, and the norm is like something I could say that you humans kind of dictate, so therefore, when you're at a spiritual level, you have a tendency to see things differently. So I guess you would say your life is changing seasons.
That is the truth.
Okay, but sometimes we do ask for names because we want to make sure, and it's just one of those ways of connecting with people. Or, like I always say, I think the connection's already happened because you're here. I just like to to verify those connections on the deepness of what it's all about. Sometimes it's connecting with the first name. But...
Yeah, I think that about you from listening to you that you'd like to. Well, you're really good at connecting. That's clear.
Yes. Sometimes I have a hard time sitting there going, yes, you're right. But it's one of those things, too, sometimes I do. I don't know. I tell people all the time about meditation, how important it really is to realize. Because, I mean, like I said before, when I started doing the, I can't remember exactly what it's called, when you touch things and you can pick things up that quick. But it came, I do remember when it really started kicking in, is because a week prior to that, I had done so much meditation. I was actually sorting out new meditations, all kinds of stuff. I had found some meditations with Dr. Wayne Dreyer and just all kinds of stuff, and just wanted to really get deep in the whole thing where I was just looking for everything. Just really wanting to just meditate, and really take out. There was a lot of things going on at that time, too, because people were just pushing. And I think society has a tendency to really push people into certain paths that they normally wouldn't have taken because of this, what I call a false sense of responsibility. Saying, okay, you got this rent to pay, you got to do this and this. And I've always seen things like that. Don't jump the gun. See, society says you got a 5-day grace period, but actually, what they're actually looking for, they might get if they open their minds a little bit and realize it might not come in 5 days. It might come in 7, but they'll get compensated for exactly what they deserve. But they don't want to sit there and give the universe a chance to do what they got to do. They want it now, not realizing that's a selfish thing. And it's basically killing the whole process. Because if you would have waited 7 days, you know, like, for example, if you got someone living with you, and you say, well, you got to have the rent now. And the person says, well, give me a couple of days. And sincerely, that's what's going on. Something's coming. Well, you don't want to wait. You throw the guy out in the street. But see what you did? You're putting someone in a compromising position. Plus, you're not going to get compensated. I guarantee it. Why? Because he has to take that money and do something else with it that he could have gave to you. You see how you just throw the whole freaking thing off if you would have just waited?
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes in situations like that, people are actually judging it because of where they've been, not what's actually going on. The guy could be very sincere. I know for a fact when I meet sincere people, there's definitely a different energy with the whole thing. I think we just need to learn how to get back to feeling again and following our hearts and realize what we're doing. You know? Things have a tendency to play out just the way they're supposed to. Even with people who use you, things will happen as long as you don't push it and just let it unfold naturally. But those people will get exactly what they deserve. And so will you. So, sweetie.
Well, you hit on a couple of different things. One thing that you brought up was about society and what people are telling you to do or expecting. Another way that I've heard it said is that they are domesticating us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their way of, you know, making us do what they think we should be doing, is to domesticate us.
Exactly. I mean, if you sit right now and look at the ideal schooling, I mean, they're basically jamming it down your throat. You'll never make any money.
And it's a fiction.
Seriously, yeah, I was sitting telling a friend of mine, I was like, you know, I'm going to go to college in England and go to this Arthur Finley College. But, you know, it's one of those things of following guidance to go there to actually enhance what I already have. But I've also seen other scenarios like with cards and other things that I do, especially with relationship counseling and life coaching, those kind of things, just basically going on a spiritual level, which is the idea of following your guidance to help other people. That sometimes if you have – some people have gone to schooling and that kind of stuff, schooling can be limiting because it puts you in a box and it says this is what psychology is all about. And that's their opinion and that's what you come with.
It's their opinion, but it's also their ego, because I have also – I don't have extra high level of education, but I've been at a conference table with some with letters behind their name, and they didn't know what I knew.
I know. I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine. I was on an airplane talking to a priest who did relationship counseling who had gone to school for it. And I was sitting there talking to him, and I brought up some valid points. And he's like, huh. That's interesting. That makes me think. You got a valid point there. I'm sitting there going, me, at that time, who hadn't gone to schooling for anything at that point, was just the idea of, what is psychology? It's the study of human behavior, which we interact with humans all the time. And I think that's what I was saying before. If you listen, everybody will tell you exactly what you want to hear. And if you look at psychology in the real sense of the word, it's almost like a high-tech way of telling people to listen, you know, in the process of studying other people. Go ahead.
Another thing that you brought up as well is about the meditation. And the best time that I've had in a meditation situation was when I did a 21-day fast.
Mm-hmm.
That really got intense. And, you know,
fasting.
You're not thinking about food and the hand-to-mouth habits and, you know, what you're going to prepare for the next meal or who you're going to meet up with for the next meal. And you just get severely into your meditation, and that's when transformation has really been effective.
And everybody out there who's listening to the whole situation, if you sit here and caught some of the things she has said, before she even asked the questions, we were already answering the questions for you. And that's why I try to tell everybody that in the process of what we're doing, I guarantee you 10 other people out there right now are listening who have actually just got the answers to their question. So if you're listening and you're there and you're looking at the situation and you're sitting there thinking, well, he's taking too long, then you're not listening.
Hmm.
You're actually focusing on exactly what you want, which is beyond asked your question, not realizing the process. If you really listen to what's being said with each individual that comes on here and what's ever going on that you're actually listening to, you might get the answers without even asking. To prove a point, I had a lady come on the show one night. She waited for an hour and a half. And she said when she finally got on the show, she just wanted to tell me that thank you very much because she got the answers to her questions. And then she said she had a couple other questions, but she thought the hour and a half was worth the wait. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm, because she was engaged.
Yeah, she was listening. She was learning. And learning is a process that happens 24/7 if you're willing to open up and see it for what that. Because we talk about people making decisions to go down certain paths. And the point of spirituality is to observe, to listen, and learn. Because realizations don't happen here. Sometimes they do. But sometimes there's realizations we don't really get a chance to hear those because the people have gotten the realization and now they're off in their lives making a difference in a positive way. So
mm-hmm.
think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I can hear someone saying it too. You know, wow, he's taking too long. But and I sit there and say, we're not taking too long. We're taking as long as it takes. See, this one thing about this show is all about is quality, not quantity. This is not an assembly line. I'm not trying to get through like 30 people. I'm trying to answer questions and make a difference in people's lives and the point of helping them make a difference in their own lives so therefore they can learn how to live their lives and to live the life they want to live and actually to get the things they want. Not just in the idea of materialistic stuff, but also the idea of the love they're looking for, which usually don't happen until you do that for yourself. I had this my phone where you can go in and check out new different types of wallpaper. There was one I saw where it just says, to start the greatest romance in your life is to learn to love yourself.
Similarly, our pastor one day, you know, right at the end of his sermon said, before we leave here, let's, forgive somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me to consider forgiving myself.
Yes, before you start anything.
That was profound for me, believe it or not.
Right. And tell people, because I've had people say, well, I don't want to forgive that guy. I said, the reason you forgive is to let go. Not to condone, but to own. So you look at the situation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tune in later, guys. We're going to write a book, I promise. I have to. There's just too much information to put in a book right now. It's like I tell people all the time. It's just the ideal of. I don't think 10 years ago I would even be any kind of close to writing a book because, you know, at that time I guess I was doing the research. And now I've got to the point where it's just like pushing and pushing and pushing to the point where you're saying, okay, right now I don't care if it's a success or not. It seems like it's something that needs to be said that people are. Because the one thing I notice about a lot of books that talk about relationships, they're always talking about steps and procedure. And people live those things. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. I had a lady one day contact me. I work for Keene, And I also work on Aranum.com. And she came to me and said that she was in the texting phase of a relationship. Now, these two people had not really met each other yet. But she's saying texting phase. And I said, I hate to be so blunt, but I sit here and said, I'm sorry, man, but that's bullshit. And she goes, what do you mean? There is no such thing as a texting phase. There are no phases. Phases were created to help you understand what some of the mistakes you were making so you can correct them, but they're not procedures that you're supposed to live. Relationships are spontaneous, and they are supposed to be lived. You're not supposed to pay attention to these things. You're supposed to be paying attention to the other person you're with. So therefore, you know how to proceed. So if you're not getting, say, for example, you're the person who's not giving you what you want, who's not emotionally available, it's your responsibility to yourself to see it for what it is and ask yourself, if you're ready and you are definitely emotionally available and the person you're with is not, isn't it really a reflection of saying, am I not really having that with myself to actually see this person is not the person for me? Because the person for you would actually be a person who was the same way, right? Be emotionally available. So therefore, you could even have a relationship. But so many people want to sit there and, well, the steps say you got to go through this to get this. No. I said, I'll give you an example. I was with the girl I'm with who I really, if I could just get a message to her to say, please call me. I still feel the same. Just give me a call. But the point was, when the relationship started, she met me on a random. She liked me, but I couldn't give her any information. But I gave her enough information, and she took it, that she actually contacted me in 20 minutes after I was done working. The point of getting that response, that was many responses. She responded. I responded. Next thing you know, we went on Yahoo and started instant-messaging each other back. And then she said, just talk to each other on webcam on Yahoo. Then we went from Yahoo to actually talking to each other on Skype to the point of spending 12 hours a day. And I always tell people, you might look at a situation like that and say, that's not a real relationship because she's in England and you're here. No. She's real and I'm real. And what's happening between us is real. Doesn't matter the avenue. As long as we're being responsible and keep taking it to the next step to get to the point where we actually meet each other, that's the thing. If you're constantly making excuses and you're procrastinating that meeting, then you have a problem. And then the idea of the avenue is actually working against you. You need to take it and look at the situation for what it is and start making some really conscious decisions and go, okay, is this what you want? Then go for it. Mm-hmm. Don't let the avenues be a hindrance. Let them be like, it's like, okay, example, she sent me an email of a reading that someone had done for a Taurus where it said, Taurus, you need to open up your mind to realize that technology can actually help you enhance your relationship. And it can actually be there for you to actually develop that relationship even further to get to where you want to be. And I told a friend of mine, like, look at the ideal. See, she's giving me the message, and she's thinking the message is for me. But see, the message also crossed her path that she was attracted to it. So see, the message actually affects both of us. That's the point of a relationship.
Yeah.
It's pointing out something for both of us, since we're both using the same technology, to help us both understand that we are going forward. And that meeting is definitely going to happen face-to-face. And when it does, things like that progress for one reason, because the feelings are mutual, and it's meant to happen that way. That's the connection. That's the twin flame. That's the purest example you can get. And when people, you know, like this situation, people say, well, you guys are not together. But it doesn't mean, if we sit there and feed into that, what's going on now, this is a past illusion, what we feel and what we see. You know, the angels are giving us visions, giving us direction. And if we see a future and a life with that person, we should trust that and keep going forward. If they tell us something else and send us to a different direction, we should trust that as well. And it'll all fall into place just like it's supposed to, and we'll always end up in where we want to be at, which was the person we're supposed to be with. Even the realizations we're looking for, like we're looking, I guess I'm trying, you know, I'm sitting there talking to her where I feel like she's thinking and, you know, kind of going things over in her head and say, well, we haven't communicated for a while, and plus I told him, leave me alone. It's like trying to help somebody understand. If you're sitting there, if you're sitting processing this and you're pondering it and you're feeling it, more than likely the feelings are mutual and you should follow through with that and say, okay, I feel pulled to this person, but I don't know if he likes me or not. Well, if you have that notion to do that, then follow through. Even if it's, you find out that maybe it's not, you have an answer. That's the key. You have an answer. Now you know which direction to go in. angels are always pointing out answers. It's just if you have the courage to actually go find them and realize that's how life is. When you learn how to live life in the moment, the answer and the truth is always there to help you, lead you in the right direction. It's when we start thinking too much, because I've had this situation too where people say, hey, I followed my heart. I got myself in trouble. I said, what happened was you were following your heart, but the moment you started thinking, you wasn't. You were in your head. Yeah. Well, people go, I have to be logical, right? No, you don't have to be logical. Logic is usually dictated by what you've been through and how the world tells you you should do it. That's what you're thinking. But when you follow your heart, it might not make sense because of what people are saying around you, even the world. Well, you know, things.
Is the world will try to impact you, because that's kind of, I don't know, I've called about a couple of different things, but one of them is you've just kind of hit on it, because ending a 25-year marriage, and then I kept 3 years to myself to do my meditation and work and get to who I am and to make much, to, you know, to a better product for, so to speak, for who I do meet. I'm not doing a rebound or anything like that. So here I am this spring. Well, I've, of course, had some suitors along the way that have been interested, but I told all of them, no, I'm still married, because I'm separated. And the divorce is moving on, but still, that was my way of keeping them at bay so that I could spend time with myself and my spirituality. And so what happened, so I met this man volunteering, and he is 20 years younger than me. We like where things are moving along, but society is saying, what are you guys thinking? But we're doing pretty good with it, considering.
Well, tell everybody else in the world we're not thinking. We're following our heart. So try it. You might like it. I just want to say something real quick. I want everybody to understand who's in the queue waiting to get on, that we're going to get to everybody. So just stay right where you're at. We might not be streaming, but we're still recording. So we'll get to each and every one of you, I promise. And I just want to stay right there, because we got like 9 minutes left in the actual streaming part. But once we're done, you will be recorded, so you can still get on, get your questions answered. And that's the whole thing, right? But with you and your situation, because that was kind of funny, too. We're going to get back to our caller and say, hey, it's kind of funny that most times if you read anything about twin flames, there's usually a great gap in age. There's also the ideal of two people prepared and ready for whatever's going to happen. Society, a lot of times the people you're getting who are making any kind of complaints about the situation are not prepared to let strange, wonderful, unusual happenings happen. Not to question it. Because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, like, when I manifested a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom home and I didn't have a job, and they go, oh, that's crazy. Maybe it's crazy, man, but am I going to sit and think about how it happened? Or am I just going to say, thank you? You know? And that's the whole point. That's what we're doing. We're in a relationship going, like, when I was with the particular person I was with, her friends call her Katie. And, to me, I look at the situation and just loved it. I just loved being with her, and that's all I cared about. A lot of people said things because there was like, I'll just say 20-something gap between us. But when two people were sitting there getting to know each other, it was almost like I was reading her list and she was reading my list of things that we wanted. To get that kind of combination and that kind of connection with somebody where here's a person who wants this really badly, and so do I. And sometimes we question things, and she's like, I've never been with somebody who actually wants this as bad as I do. Well, in the process of really focusing on what you wanted, to actually find a person like that makes perfect sense. But and then it's like I always say, if you have all those things working for you, and you sit here and say, well, there's the age thing, then it's just an excuse because you're scared of what might happen between the two of you. So let's take the age thing out of it and realize this. I said this with past lives. If you believe in past lives, the person you're with might be 4,000 years old. Okay, does age matter anymore? to realize that in this lifetime, okay, you're 50 in this lifetime, and she's 26. But what's going on between you two is a very positive, youthful energy of something that's destined to happen, and it, because it is. So therefore,
yeah,
you know, that kind of connection with somebody.
What reasons do we have to stop it?
Yeah, exactly. So the point is, why should you stop it? Because I think society is really full of it, because the idea, they want to find the right person, but they want to put stipulations on how that happens.
Well, and the domestication, for example, you know, I know plenty of couples that were the right, you know, same age and all the rest, and, you know, they're divorced a year later or et cetera. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I always tell people, don't go into a relationship either saying, well, this doesn't work out. There's always the next one, because you just put the doom on that one. Because you're supposed to be the idea of commitment. If you're the sister, say you say that, and you say, okay, if this doesn't work out, you know, then we'll take the proper procedures to find the right person. And then you have a person that you're with, all of a sudden, doesn't want to commit to you. Would you want to commit to somebody who's waiting for the next one?
No,
so
absolutely not.
Right, so you got to sit there and look at the situation and go, how come this guy's distant? Well, what'd you just say? Well, I was just saying, no. People don't just say things for the heck of it. Even subconsciously, you're saying that because of where you've been. And I think it's very disrespectful to the person you're with, because they want you to treat them because of the way it is now. I mean, it was like when I was with the one, I had this ex-fiance who said, well, you have this record that you got in trouble because of some, it was like fraudulent things. And I'm sitting there going, that was almost 20 years ago. I guarantee you, the person you fell in love with, it's not that person no more, because when those things happen, I made a definite decision. Yeah, I made a definite decision. I didn't want to go that way anymore. I wanted to be this way. So therefore, I think the spiritual lifestyle really kicked in, as the idea of being truthful, being honest, and actually being a very loving person, caring about anything and everything, to the point where those things have changed. So the person you fell in love with makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I'm in love with this person for the very first time. You're totally different than I've ever met, because someone made a conscious decision to get away from the norm. And I don't think they should be condemned for that. Because I told her, she's like, why didn't you tell me this? I said, well, look at your attitude right now. And you want to ask me, why would I tell somebody this? Because first of all, I don't think it's important, because it doesn't exist anymore. It's, you know, we're sitting there making conscious decisions to say, you need to let go of the past. Now, isn't that part of the past? So why bring it up?
Mm-hmm.
Because you might, because you're scared you might repeat something, not realizing that in the process of not letting go of something, you have more of a chance of repeating it than if you let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so.
So if there was, I was just going to say, if there was one question you could ask me, because I really want to get on to somebody, you know, how would you put this? Be nice about the whole thing. Ask another question. I want to make sure that we've actually covered everything with you before I go on to somebody else.
Yeah, we were actually on tangents along the way, but it's all good.
That's what I tell everybody. Was we really doing a reading for her, or was we actually discussing something that was very important? And is this not a talk show?
Yeah, it did. It moved right along, didn't it?
Yeah, it's actually, we look at the theme, right? Look at the theme of the show. People asking questions about relationships and certain things and certain aspects. So it's like the show takes on a theme of its own. I try to do things spontaneous in the first place and just go with the flow, because they always seem to be more deeper that way.
Well, so about the relationship, the other one is the old one. So the ex and I were breaking up, and we were sitting in a mediation recently,
mm-hmm.
and he was very angry and not looking at me. Although, you know, he's had a girlfriend since we broke up. So
isn't that crazy?
He moved on, and he's got a friendship, I guess, along the way, and I stayed single, you know, kind of holding his place and somewhat, mm-hmm. you know, learning more about myself before I moved on to a relationship. So, but anyway, mm-hmm. I just was wondering if he's going to be cooperative or if he's going to be combative, adversarial with our settlement.
Well, see, the one thing I get the most, the one thing that comes across the biggest here, or the most intense, is the idea of focusing on what you want. What kind of outcome do you want? Because if you focus on him not being agreeable, he won't be agreeable. Because I get the really strong impression you can definitely change the outcome of this whole thing. to go the way you want it to go. It's the idea of just, and people say this is like controlling people. It's not controlling people at all. It's just the idea of putting the energy out there, letting the universe actually let these things fall into place, so therefore you can get the outcome that you've been focusing on. That's how it works. You're not taking anything from anybody. It's the idea of the situation. The guy's got a girlfriend. He likes him. He's actually in love with somebody else in the first place. It's just the idea of it's hard to let go of the past. It's hard to let go of the old, and it's hard to let go of you, because you do have a history together. And I think it's just the ideal if we focus and let go of the whole thing and realize that there are certain things that he's hanging on to, even subconsciously. He's still hanging on to those things. And if we focus on the outcome, which is very positive, then it will happen the way we want it. Because that's the way it's supposed to. If we start diverting it, that means we're feeding into the illusion. The illusion is him still hanging on to his past. The reality here, well, I guess people look at the reality. Well, hey, this is what happens. Okay, stop watching court on television and you'll realize it pretty much goes the way you want it to. And there's a lot of examples out there, too. A lot of examples.
So if that's the case, then I'm doing pretty well with the whole thing. Because I do just keep putting it out there that, justice and an equitable conclusion to this would be great. And that's the...
A quick and easy solution. Yeah, that's what you want, right? You want everything to fall into place. So therefore, this can be done and over with quickly.
Yeah, quickly is relative because I actually, didn't... I just waited until he made a decision of what he was going to do, and that's been 4 years. I didn't do anything different. So I think that's Case said right there that I just kept the peace, really.
Hey, I just want to say something real quick to everybody who's called in and everybody who's talked tonight and everybody listening out there, thank you all for being here tonight. And all I want to say is may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And give us a call at 747. That's not 77. It's 740-500-8863 to get a private reading. Right now, they're really good rates, $33.33 for a 60-minute reading, $22.22 for a 40-minute reading, and $11.11 for a 20-minute reading. This all started at November 11, 2011, and it's going to continue to the end of the year. So give us a call and check it out. Take advantage of the prices. It's a holiday season. Get one for a friend. Believe me, if you have a friend who's like, I think they could really need some help, and you see a situation and you're sitting here listening and it pops in your head, go with the flow. Follow through and see what happens. The same thing with you and your situation that you're in. Just keep going forward and keep listening to yourself. And how we put this, keep doing what you feel like you should do. Because you know for a fact you shouldn't feed into any kind of negativity on this whole thing. And yes, he does have these tendencies, and that's all they are. And I just feel like if we divert the energy to focusing on the outcome, see, it takes the energy away from the fear of what might happen. It has no out. It has no energy. It has no power. The only thing that can happen is the outcome that you want.
Agreed. That's what I've been thinking. Is we're not created in fear, so I'm not gonna entertain it either.
Exactly. You created the love.
Yep.
If you take that one process and put the same thing in relationships too, to realize they're also created out of love as well, and when they're not, there's going to be a realization that they're not. They're on the surface. What happens with the situation? I'm just saying, it all comes to the forefront, and you all see it for what it is. It's the idea you sit there and look at it and go, okay, that's what it is. Then we have to make the proper decisions to correct it. We made a mistake, or we were down the wrong path, or whatever it is, because the process of making the wrong choice, as some people would say, well, that's the wrong choice down the path. No, you went down the right path. Even if it was just the idea of realizing that, you still learned something. And now we correct it. As soon as you get those realizations, make the decision right then and there, because that's what it's saying. You have the realization now, and the decision should be made now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, cool.
I swear, I have so many stories I could tell you, man, where everybody is sitting there focusing and getting exactly what they want. Me personally, like with situations, you look at the situation, I've been there myself. I've even had, in the process of manifesting exactly what I wanted to, there are times where you think, okay, here's a relationship I really want. Here's a person I really love. I love them now. I love now. I love them now. And I'm just like, I can't turn away from the visions I've seen of a future with that person. So therefore, the biggest thing we can do with your situation, the one thing I really get the idea of is we can see the outcome. That's the outcome we want. We have to detach ourselves from the situation and let it go. A friend of mine brought this to my attention too. She said, just say to yourself, I let go and I trust. I surrender.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Don't resist.
Don't resist. That's it. Because I know for a fact when I've done that before, I mean, the situation today, I got a really strong impression that this person is going to call. We're going to have a great conversation and we're going to be together. And this time, we're going to trust more than we did before to realize that what we have is real. No matter what anybody says, if anybody doesn't see it, then they're not being honest with themselves. I'm just saying the process of these situations, like with the guy you're with, you got to let it go the way to go. You got to let go. People are like, well, Buff doesn't go the way I want. I guarantee if you hang on to it like you're doing and you hang on to it tightly and you don't detach, let it go and let it unfold naturally, that will actually keep it from happening the way you want it to, because you're letting fear dictate your decisions and your direction. In the process of letting go, you're saying, I trust that it's going to unfold just the way it's supposed to for the best interest of all concerned. So say that it doesn't go the way you want to. It doesn't happen. It still happened the way it was supposed to. And like I said before, if you detach yourself from these situations, you'll see why. You'll understand why. Because in the process of being unconditionally loving people, think about it. If you're not supposed to be with that person, love that person enough to let them go, to forgive, let yourself go, so therefore you get with the people you're supposed to be with.
Right, and that's what I—that's what happened in the 25-year marriage, is that I decided that, too, that he deserved to have, you know, a relationship. Well, somebody had to make a move, but he would have stayed in it in the old-fashioned way, because you're going to just do it. You're going to stay in that relationship no matter what.
And yeah, the first time you compromise, you're telling yourself you don't deserve it.
And I just said, I just said, well, someone's going to have to, you know, belly up here and get up to the bar and get this, you know, do what you got to do.
Yeah, in some relationships you have that. One person refuses to follow through what they need to know, what they know they need to do, and one person will. Does it make them a bad person? I think it actually makes them the best of the two, because at the time they're seeing it for what it is and they're making that decision to go the direction that they're supposed to go. They're listening to their heart. I always look like this. You're following your heart. So therefore, like I was reading this section of the book to prove a point of saying, when you follow your heart, you spiritually illuminate your mind. So therefore, we've all heard the saying, follow your heart, the head will follow. It's a simple term. Because I was sitting there telling somebody, I said, look at this. Here's an example for you. Guys, like, you got two people who are in the process of wanting to see a rose unfold. One's impatient and gets mad and slams on the table. The other person goes through the process of nurturing it, watering it, whatever it takes to see this rose unfold. And then when it does unfold, it's a beautiful happening. But see, the point is, they enjoyed the whole thing. They enjoyed the process of getting there. They lived it. And then when they got there, they also got to enjoy the part of the rose as it was unfolding. And then when it unfolded, to see the whole picture and the whole experience. The person who got impatient beat the hell out of the rose, slammed on the table. It wasn't just the idea of killing the rose and killing the whole process, but they never got to experience how to get there, you know, the process.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't just kill the rose. They killed an experience in their life that could have been so nurturing and so just a learning experience. They would have found out a lot of things about themselves. We can still look at the situation of being impatient and still finding out a lot of things about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they look at the realization and go, okay, well, shoot, I could have experienced so much more if I would have just been patient. And then the other person sitting over the corner, on the corner selling those roses, that they took the time to enjoy that experience and the rose itself. So now they're enjoying another part of the aspect of someone else enjoying it too. So you see the situation. Relationships, aren't they? When you are patient and you enjoy the unfolding, and then you get to that point where you have this very powerful relationship, doesn't it also affect everybody else in a positive way too? Because you want to share it with everybody. So see, it's a chain reaction.
Yeah.
I hope I answered your questions for you, and I hope that if there's anything else we can do for you, just let us know.
Yeah, it's been great visiting with you. Thanks.
Oh, it was great having you on the show.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
It's one of those situations you sit there and go, well, I hate to see her go. But,
Well, I'm around.
Well, definitely give us a call back and give us an update on how things are going with your life. And if you want to take advantage of those readings, be glad to work with you.
I appreciate it. You're awfully kind. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And have a nice rest of this Thanksgiving weekend.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. I was actually trying to... Here we go. All right. Let's go on to... All right, let's go to this one here. Oops. Okay, area code 225. Welcome to the show. How are you? And welcome. What's your name?
Hi. Rose.
You're what?
Rose.
Rose. How are
Rose.
You?
Fine.
So how can we help you tonight?
I just was curious about I guess you kind of answered my question. I have changed, but I think in people's mind I haven't changed. But
well, sometimes you know that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Because it's kind of amazing when you feel like you have changed and that kind of stuff. People still want to see you the same way. So it's just, I guess it's one of those things you can't get caught up into, because I guess as the process of you changing and maybe even your perception's changing where you see things differently, the person who still sees you the same way, that perception is still stuck there. And I guess that hinders them of actually seeing the changes in you. Or maybe they just can't see changes in you because they know there are certain things they need to do with themselves. So we sit here and go, okay. They don't get it, but is it really our responsibility to show them what they're missing, or just hopefully just let go of the situation and hope that they will see things for what they are? Some people have a tough time seeing past the illusion. They've seen you a way. They've seen you a certain way for so long, they just can't see it any other way. Give them time. Some of the changes I've seen that you've done will definitely be seen and experienced. That makes sense, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because seriously, a lot of people do that. They'll sit there and say, okay, something's going on, or someone says this, or this. We all feel like we have this sense of responsibility, like we have to sit there and do something. I had a friend of mine the other day who ran into somebody she hadn't seen in 20 years. They just crossed paths. And I said, she goes, what should I do? I said, well, why should you do anything? If it was supposed to happen, if anything was supposed to happen between the two of them, any kind of action or reaction, it would have happened. But it didn't. And now she's thinking, well, maybe I should do something. Well, maybe you should stop thinking about it so much. And look at it as in the sense of, let's say you're focusing on what you don't want in a relationship. And all of a sudden you run into an ex. Doesn't it make perfect sense that you're focusing on what you didn't want? And then this X materializes out of and you cross paths. So maybe what's going on here is it's pointing out to you the reflection of what your thinking is all about. And shouldn't we change our thinking to what we really want instead of what we don't want? Because there it is. It shows you how quick it can actually happen, you know, good or bad. And that's what we sit and talk about the other day, because people say, well, I have these X's that keep popping in my life. But what are you thinking about at that time? More than likely, you'll trace it back to, I don't want certain things to happen again, and all of a sudden you run into an ex-boyfriend where they happen with that person. It's telling you to focus on the person you're with, as in the change in your life that you're going to get. And this is showing you where you've been, and you don't want to go there again, do you? I don't think so. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. They publicly did it, something happened tonight. I went to a public place, and this person had been on my mind, and I know they haven't seen me in 5 years. And in that 5 year period of time, I'm now in grad school. And they told me I was barely surviving.
Right.
And they publicly said, I mean, it was about 100 people in the room. They said, well, I'm exaggerating, it's probably about 60 people in the room, and they said, they calling the word out on you is that you are a hellraiser. Well, for the last 5 years, nobody has seen me, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're still making decisions on what people used to perceive you were, and you changed a lot since then, so therefore, I guess it's just giving time to catch up.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like I said before, yeah, I mean, realistically,
give them time to catch up.
Yeah.
I like
or
that.
You
give
look
them
at,
time. Give them time to catch
yeah.
up.
Yeah. But you could also take it one step further, too, and say, okay, is it really my responsibility for them to actually get the realization, or is it their responsibility? So, therefore, I think I should just focus on going forward, and if that person is still a part of my life, then they'll get it. If they're not, maybe they just won't be happy as I am.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
yeah.
I enjoyed listening. I got a lot of questions answered that were deep inside just listening to you and the other lady talk, and thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And have a great, I guess it's one of those Thanksgiving weekends, and enjoy the rest of it, okay?
I will. Thank you.
You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to our next caller, which is actually area code 386. 386, you're on the air. Welcome. How are you? And what's your name?
Hi. Donnie, is it?
Yes.
Hi. This is Sheena. How are you?
Well, how are you?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving or belated Thanksgiving.
Yeah, some people say happy, what do they call it? I had some friends say Happy Turkey Day.
Yeah, that's what I say too. Happy Turkey Day. How was your Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm.
It was eventful. I wasn't too sure how I was going to go because my brother was here. Me and my brother have a tendency to, it could be an insult fest. He says something and I got to say something back. You know how it goes.
You said it was uneventful or eventful?
Eventful, because he came up here and he has a tendency to say things. And then, you know, I had one brother show up one day and he's like, you're always cranky. I said, yeah, I went to the doctor for that. And he said, I had to get away from my family. So...
Right.
And he was like, there you go. You always got to come back with something, don't you? I was like, pretty much. I got to learn how to be still.
Keep quiet, like be humble.
Yeah. And, you know, people think it's kind of crazy, but I've been in situations before. I've actually seen the effects of not saying anything. I had one lady who went off of me. I was working with the carnival, and she was yelling at me because she said I yelled at her kids. And then I pointed out her kids. They wasn't her kids. I said, well, those are the kids I yelled at. So why are you yelling at me for yelling at them when I yelled at those kids? Well, those ain't my kids. Then I didn't yell at your kids. So why are we arguing about
it? But you yelled
and she
at
said, well,
somebody's
then she wanted,
kids, but they weren't hers, huh?
Well, yeah, that's the next step. Now she wants to yell about that, too, because she wants to argue. And I said, you know something? I felt myself getting out of control, where I just had to prove something to her, right, that I was right. And all of a sudden, someone came over me and says, walk away. So I walked away. I turned around. I said, I'm done with you. And I walked away. And, you know, she got more ticked off. So actually, in the process of taking back your power, you really do have an effect. And I did, because it was like, hey, you're not talking to me. And I refused to talk to her anymore, because that's just having respect for myself, because She was being very disrespectful to the situation. In the process of her arguing with me, the job I had was to actually make sure people came down the slide and there wasn't no pileups or anybody got hurt. In the process of her getting into the mix of the thing and keeping and distracting me, three kids got hurt.
Wow, yeah. Well, you had a good
and
reason
I
then if you mm-hmm. did get, you know, raise your voice at the kids, because a lot of the times if we're adults, we have to tell the kids in a forceful way so they won't hurt themselves.
Well, that's why I told her. I said, it's like this. If you come on this ride and you don't listen, I'm going to say something, because if I don't, then people get hurt. And it was kind of funny, after I said that, two, three kids got hurt because of my distraction, which proved a point. You know,
wow.
It's like everything has to run to smooth the whole thing. And people think that discipline is a bad thing. And I said, no, discipline actually has a lot of things happen in a positive way. So if something did happen, that we have an understanding why, and then we can react to it accordingly. So, you know, it was a crazy situation, man. You're in Florida.
Yes, that's correct.
And you're down near, yeah, I was in Tampa before I saw the sun. I was like, yes, I used to live in Holly Hill. I used to live in Daytona.
Yeah, it was a while back. Yeah, I always call the show. And I like listening, and I like just calling in to ask questions. I'm curious about stuff. The main thing that's been overwhelming me lately is I've been, you know, like people, I won't say people, one specific person in general has kind of like a big influence on me right now. Mm-hmm. It's a woman, an older lady, and she has a really big influence on me right now when it comes to my my love life or my romance mm-hmm. life, and I'm wondering if I should, you know, take her advice, because, you know, the way she's looking at the, you know, my situation and the way I'm looking at it is different. So I'm wondering if I should follow her advice, because It's kind of making me insecure. Like I can't trust myself to know, you know, to know what I feel or whatever, because there is mm-hmm. you know, this man or whatever, and the things that he does, I just, you know, I talk to her about them, and she just feels like he's not the one for me. He's, you know, he's always lying to me. He's not never showing up. And mm-hmm. her opinion is just, you know, she's just not it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, but you know, when you sit and look at the situation of doubting oneself, a lot of times you doubt yourself because of what somebody says.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the situation and ask yourself, maybe that's the distraction where you can't see it for what it is. It's the person who's giving you that advice and saying, well, he lies to you. He does this. He does that. You know, you're sort of going, okay, I need time to make a decision. You know, the situation of, for some reason, you feel like you're keeping yourself in the situation a bit longer than you should. But is that really a true statement? You're keeping yourself in the situation because what you think you should do. Some people look at it and say, well, you're keeping yourself too long. And the reason that is because they wouldn't do that. But does that really have any bearing on what's going on in your life? Because it's definitely not the same guy that she was with. That was a totally different situation. So therefore, you have to sit there and be able to give your attention to the situation at 100%. And that's kind of distracting you. So people come to me too, and I've had people say that when I was married. They came to me when we got divorced, and they said, well, I could have told you. Yeah, but you didn't. You came to me and said, oh, she's the greatest person in the world. Were you just saying that because you thought that's what I wanted to hear? I don't want to hear what I think I want to hear. I want to hear the truth and what's going on. But in the process of telling you that truth, there also has to be a sense of respect so that you take the information that you've been given and process it and do what you got to do with it. If it contradicts exactly what they think you should do and they want to bitch about it, then I think they're the ones in the wrong.
She's not bitching. It's in a very blunt and loving way, like, but I think it's a little, sugarcoated. Like, you know.
What do you want to do? You want to beat the hell out of you? Come on.
Yeah, it's a little blunt. Like I want to believe different. And she's telling me, hey, open your eyes. And it makes me feel bad because I'm like, I don't want to feel stupid. But,
but you got to look at the situation. I don't think anybody's really stupid when you stay in those situations. I think you're just someone's getting something out of the situation, or maybe you're looking for something, and you just haven't seen it to the point where you get that realization to walk away. I think you want to. All I'm saying with the situation is when people do things in a loving way, but they're persistent and they won't let it go.
Right.
I still look at that as being disrespectful because they're still not giving you, because it's like, almost like, I suppose, like, if I give them a little time, they might make the wrong decision. That's not their responsibility. Okay, you're prompted to say something. I get it. Say it and let it go. Do you want to stay with this person? Do you feel like you... okay, let's put it this way. What she says, do you feel like... Do you really feel like it's valid?
She has valid points. But then I have my points too. Like the situation is this young man, we went out on one date, and she expects him to show up for holidays, birthdays, she expects him to give me money, she expects all these things for him to do, even though he's saying, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and he doesn't follow through with it, then her point is just saying, well, he's lying to you, and, there's something not right about him.
Yes,
you can't trust him,
Right.
He's not coming, he's not being available to you, and I'm like, yeah, I know he's not being available to me, but, there might be, what's the reasoning for it? Like, I'm always the type, I'm like, well, why?
Right,
I got to ask all these questions, like, why? Why are you not available to me? Why do you think he's not available to me? And then she'll go into, well, he might just be lying to you, he might be married, he may have a girlfriend, he's just not interested in you. And I'm like, I'm just like, not again. I want to find somebody that is into me. And I think she genuinely wants the same thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that point of view. I'm just saying with the situation, one thing we do have to do is sit back and look at the situation for what it is, too, and say, okay, when we get with people, we have to understand one thing. They're going to do it the way they feel like they should do it. When we start saying, well, I think he should do this, and I think he should do that, you do a lot of things, but most of those perceptions is because of what you do. A lot of people say that. I wouldn't have done that. Or if I was him, I would do it this way. Well, the point is, you're not. His perception
right.
tells him on the way he should proceed in this situation, which might go against what you're saying. But see, if you really look at the situation, in the process of expecting something, you're not really focusing and seeing what's really happening and realize that's just the way it was supposed to happen. Because if you would have done it differently, you would have, but you didn't, and it still played out the way it was. So the guy doesn't show up on holidays and that kind of stuff. He has a different perception. I think it's one of those situations that two people need to sit down and talk about it, to sit and look at the situation and go, okay, what kind of relationship is it? Does he perceive
right.
it the same way you do? Does he look at his... a committed relationship, or does he look at it as something as in the process of going out and dating and hanging out and doing certain things, so he sees it differently. So we two people have to sit down and look at the situation and talk to each other to see what the perception really is. And then they can understand it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, though, you being a male or whatever, if you like the girl that you, okay, you say you like her, you text her every now and then, you text her and say you miss her, and you're sorry you couldn't make it, and blah, 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 and all these things, and then you tell her you're going to... But honestly,
I'm sorry,
like,
sweetie. I'm sitting here. I'm just sitting here listening to this whole thing, going, first of all, in the process of liking somebody and wanting to be with somebody, I have no problem giving commitments. I do it for, I follow my heart and go through the whole thing and say, okay, if I'm in any kind of sense of texting you, more than likely we're in a relationship, or I would not be texting you. I'm just not a texting person. Another thing is too, people say, well, this guy. You know, don't you think this guy should be following through and doing all the things when he says he's going to do this, he's going to do that? I said, well, from my perception, I do those things. Because I had a lady, she goes, you know how guys are. I said, no, I don't. I do, but I don't do it that way. I mean, when I sit there and say, I like you, I'm one of those people that wants to put the energy into it, something to make it last long.
Why?
I'm looking for long term. I'm looking for the whole thing. You know, when I was with the girls with this last summer, I mean, I told a friend of mine, I was like, I just want to tell everybody, maybe we're not together, but it was just the idea of the whole thing and everything that fell into place like it did, to sit there and say, well, we should just sit back and appreciate exactly what happened in the process of wanting that again, and maybe even more of a commitment. We sit there and share those things with everybody and say, well, this is what I have. But seeing the point of making that point, it was very spontaneous. I mean, it's like saying this talk on, like I said before, this talk on Yahoo, this talk on this. It wasn't anything I thought about. It was more like, okay. You know, I'm baffled by some of the guys and their reactions where you just want to smack them and say, okay, you told the girl you wanted a relationship, and then you want to play, I don't know what I want. And I said, you're full of it, because you do know what you want. It's the fear of actually proceeding to get it that you're sitting there going, well, I'm going to. And even to the point that, like I said before, the biggest thing seems with most people is friends and family. They always start looking at the lack of. They don't look at all the things they're going to gain. And even to the process of, we've always wanted to know, this person is in my life. Is this really a friend of mine? Is this a friend? And all of a sudden, a scenario plays itself out that points this person out to be exactly what they are, and you still want to hang on to them?
Right. Yeah. I've had, you know, so many disappointing moments like that with friends and family, period. And this is one lady that, you know, I'm really close to, even though she has flaws and I have flaws. I think she genuinely loves me, you know, and but I think that the way she looks at things because of what she's been through in life shouldn't have no bearing on me.
I'm just saying, when you got scenarios like this, sometimes you got to look at the friend and say, okay, I've heard you. I understand where you're coming from. But with the situation, if I make a decision to still proceed with this relationship, is that going to have a problem with our friendship?
No.
And I always tell people. I'm just saying, and if that's the case, then you shouldn't have any problem saying that to her either, saying, I did this with my mom. She was like, I don't approve of this, I don't approve of that. I looked at her one day and said, okay, this is what's going to happen. I have no intention of stopping what I'm doing. I know you don't approve. But the bottom line is, I have no intention of stopping doing what I'm doing. I feel like this is what I got to do. And I'm just looking for someone to respect that enough, even when you don't like it. Because I've had friends. I mean, I had one friend when I started seeing this one girl who didn't like her, really. You know, she had a little jeopardy back and forth. She's also psychic, so she saw some things. And I was like, you sure you're seeing those things psychically, or are you just irritated? You know? And I told her. But the one thing was, of having somebody look at you in the face, look you in the eye and say, okay, I don't approve of this girl, but I respect you. And if this is where you think you should do, and this is the path you should proceed down, and you really feel like she's the one, to actually have that respect to say, okay, you make the decision and you do what you got to do. And then take a step back and respect that decision. I tell everybody, if you have a friend who doesn't want to do that, who keeps wanting to be persistent, who keeps wanting to point out all the bad things, maybe I should look at that person as somebody that I actually attracted in my life at the time I had those fears too. That maybe it's time for this person to, in a loving way, to say, okay, I'm sorry, but I made a conscious choice to be happy, and I made a conscious choice to go down this path. And if you can't give me the respect by the decision I've just made, then maybe you should take that consideration. Because if you're not a part of my life, maybe because you haven't made a decision in your life to be happy. And right now this makes me happy.
Right.
So whose fault is it really? If that person's not a part of your life, whose fault is it? Because you've made a conscious choice to do what you feel like you need to do. Just by saying that to her, she should respect that and back off. And then be there for you.
Well, I think that, you know, I seek her opinion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I seek it, you know, and I'll be like, well, because she's older, like I said, and she's like a mother figure or a figure that I see as my equal, but as,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's older.
Wow.
You know, I respect, you know, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said before, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to talk you out of it or whatever. I'm just saying, you're right. It's your decision. Do what you want to do with the situation. And it's not like you want to keep her in your life. And I'm like I said before, I feel like if you sit her and sit down and talk to her and say, you know, I really don't want to hear anymore about the situation or this guy. I want to sit there and I want you to give me the time and the space to actually make my own decision on what I should do, because that's actually how it works anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of if you have a friend who gets mad at you because you didn't take my advice, I never do. I usually get advice from a lot of people, and I make a decision what I think I should do. So therefore, I guarantee you, doesn't matter how many people you got advice from, I guarantee you when you got down to the bottom line, you made a decision to do what you think
right.
is best for you.
I think
or you followed your heart
and said,
this is what I feel I should do. Good. I'm sorry.
Right. I understand everything you're saying. I think that I just get in that habit of trying to prove people wrong, you know, and I don't want this guy to be wrong. I want him to be right, and so that I can be right, you know, and that's what
right.
it is.
And
I know,
but that's
sorry.
Not going to happen until you give him what he has. See, that's what I'm saying. You got to let go, too. If he's going to prove you right, he's going to prove you right. If he's going to prove you wrong, he's going to prove you wrong. It's just going to happen that way.
Right.
So, but you do not have to, you are not, how would you put this? You have, I'm trying to figure out how to put that. You do not have to take accountability for your decisions.
No.
And that's what she's trying to do. She's like, well, you're not listening. I'm listening. I just don't hear anything valid just yet. I hear what you're saying. I'm looking at the scenario, but it just hasn't resonated with me just yet. And I guarantee
right.
you, when it does, I will make the right decision to do what I think to do what I feel like I should do. And that's the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I want her.
Don't do what you
that's
think you should
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, don't do what you think you should do. Do what you feel you should do.
Yeah. I want her yep. to see that. Like, I want her to trust me to see that. If I figure out that this guy is not, then she knows that I'll make the right decision. But I think she's just, you know, like, oh, you're just not listening to me. I done told you this, and see, I told you, and all that.
Yeah.
You
I'm
know?
Just saying, too, sweetie, with the situation you got going on here, does she have a tendency to solicit without you asking for advice, or does she just give it to you?
Sometimes.
This is a key important thing. Because I'm just saying, with the situation, it's like when we do readings, people say, well, you're giving people advice and that kind of da-da-da-da. Of course I am, but they're also, if you hear, they're also asking the questions. So they're asking,
right.
in the process of asking a question, you're asking me, you're giving me permission to tell you what I think, or give you, you know, whatever comes across to give to you. But I also, I had this one lady, this one girl, I was sitting there giving her advice, I saw things and this and the other, and she was like, well, what should I do? See, what should I do? So I told her. Well, next thing you know, she started telling me all kinds of stuff about myself. And I said, well, first of all, dear, I never gave you a conscious permission to do that. So therefore, I'm not listening. And the reason I'm not listening is because I never asked you for any advice. She goes, well, maybe not. But when you do the spiritual thing, you have the this conscious choice or this responsibility to tell them. I said, you need to learn more to realize that when, if you sit and watch the process of what's going on, when people call me, I don't call them. Oh, by the way, and that's why I have a tough time with a lot of psychics who come on the line, who are on the internet, who come to you and say, there's a lot of stuff coming up, but if you don't contact me right now, you're going to miss it. And I'm like, I guess I'm going to miss it because I'm not contacting anybody. Because I don't feel like I'm prompted to do that. It's the ideal of realizing one thing. I have friends, too, to do that, too. They'll sit there and say, well, this is what's going on. This is what I feel, and this is what my guides are telling me to tell you. I said, it might be so, but what am I supposed to do when my guides come to me and say, this is what I do? Who do I listen to? I think I'm supposed to listen to mine. Because a lot of people use the response base of, well, you know, you can't read yourself. Bullshit. I'm sorry I said that out so loud, but I'll say it again. No, I'm just saying intuition and psychic ability is the ideal of making conscious choices about your life. Did you hear what I said? To make conscious choices and to go in the direction that you feel like you need to because of what the messages and the guidance that you're being given, which comes to what? Your intuition and your psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, to say you can't read yourself, you're not listening. So therefore, you don't have to solicit nobody. It doesn't mean sometimes you don't go to people. I mean, personally, when I go to people and talk to them and my friends and stuff, it's more to get validation on things I've already been picking up on. And then the process of getting those when I get that validation and I start realizing that I was right, or even if I was wrong, to realize that the reason I'm wrong is because I didn't listen to the first thing that came through. I second-guess myself. I can keep myself from doing those things. You see how it works?
Mm-hmm.
So your friend, she's a good friend, but she also has to be a great friend to realize that you can only give people so much information, and it's up to them. She's not responsible for you, but she's making herself that way. And you're not responsible for her because you're making yourself responsible for her to help her understand, not realizing. Realizations usually happen when you're in the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? It's always those, we'll be sitting there, say we're in the bathroom, we see something on the wall or something. All of a sudden, somebody told us something a while back. All of a sudden, the realization comes through. And that's how it works. Sometimes it doesn't happen in the reading. We just get the information, and in your process, you take a responsibility for your life to realize that you're right. Everything does cross your path for a reason. Everything's happening for a reason. And everything it's said to you is for a reason. Not just her. There's other things that are happening in your life, too, that she's not seeing. But see, your point is, this is my point, just real quick. A lot of people don't realize that in the process of living our lives, we're there 24/7. The friends who come and give us advice are not.
Right, that's so true. Like, you're not there to me. And a lot of times or whatever, I have to push the issue, like, when it, you know, just, like you said, it's other things, too, that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit it right on the head. But, and so that lets me know that what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm feeling, you know, to say and to defend myself is totally not out of, you know, character or out of question, because my dad, you know, will look at me like, oh, my gosh, she's crazy. And, you know, she's not seeing things the way we're seeing it. And
right.
No, that's not true. It's, you don't live my life. You know, you're not walking in my socks, in my
slippers
that say princess. You're not, you know.
My jockey shorts.
So, you know, but
I understand completely.
You know, I'm just like, that's, and then I'll make that a part of my decision making or whatever. But I want to ask you, what do you feel that this guy is feeling right now?
Well, when I pick up the situation with this guy and stuff like that, I do get a lot of things where it's confusing. And I'm not saying confusing to me. I'm saying confused. I get confusion with him. Where you got, like, feelings. You got certain things that one wants and that kind of stuff. But I feel like the confusion is because of too much thinking. I think sometimes in the process of there could be more things, more time spent together, even holidays. It's just the fear of what that. It's almost like people seeing things, like you said, your friend sees this is her perception, and then we have these preconceived perceptions of people thinking, like you want certain things, but not really having the conversations to know that. It's his perception, but it's also a perception that's actually basically based on other people he's talked to, other relationships he's been in. So therefore, in the process, as I say, thinking too much, he's not seeing the relationship that he has right here and what it could be. There's a very strong possibility of what it can be if he was willing to actually commit to that, to be, it's like, let go of the fear and just let yourself go and see what this can be. You know, some people want to see the outcome on everything, and sometimes not seeing the outcome can actually help you proceed quicker and go forward. A lot more if you actually saw the outcome going, oh, we're going to break up. I don't want to go down there. Just let it unfold naturally, and you'll understand why things happen in the process. It's the process, you know. The reason you're not really supposed to focus on how it's supposed to happen, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to understand. He thinks that if he's spending a holiday with me, that I want, is it something that I want to, I don't get it.
Well, that's a question you're asking me. You're asking me that's what he, what is his fears?
Yeah, like
my the thing I get with him is the fear of it might not be. There's a lot of people who say, well, this is going really good, and then they get fearful because it's going so good, they're scared of losing it. When the process of scaring you're gonna lose it, they feed into that fear and then they lose it. Not realizing it, maybe it wasn't. It's not the idea of looking at the person and looking at all the things that happened. It's the idea of tracing it back and looking back at yourself and going, okay, what was I doing or thinking at the time? Or was it the idea I was thinking too much? And that's what I'm getting here. So the fear is important, but it's also to realize right now he's doing too much thinking.
But this is probably me. I'm like, I don't understand, man. Because, you know, okay, you like me, you're into me, quote unquote, and then but you're gonna show me by standing me up, telling me you're gonna come and then not come.
Well, look at this way. Simply look at the situation for what it is, and ask yourself, would you do that? I know we said during say you don't shouldn't do it that way, but I'm just saying, would you do that? So in the process of not getting what you want. In the process of thinking about what he does want, you're not honoring your own. You're not honoring yourself. And say, okay, what do I want? Well, you said you want to have a relationship, and you want to have somebody. You want to have a relationship with a person who's emotionally available because you're emotionally giving. So you look at the situation and say, okay, how's this guy presenting himself to me right at this moment? I mean, it's different in certain situations. I mean, if you've already had a relationship with him, and now you're like in a separation mode, then there can be a different way of approaching it. Understanding a person's fearful of the situation and things playing out. But if it's something that you were hoping to have with somebody and they're not getting that, it's to help you understand yourself and the way things happen. Everything happens in the now. If it's not happening now, that's the thing you have to take into consideration and go, okay, if it's not happening now, am I really responsible to give him anything? And the answer is no, you're not. Because you've already given. You're waiting for the receiving part. And sometimes it's hard to make those decisions and go, okay, I'm not getting this. But do I really have to understand it? It's the idea of understanding of what you do want and tell yourself at that moment you're not getting it. I always say, just let go. Don't worry about it one way or the other. If it is what it's supposed to be, it will be. If it's not, then something else will definitely present itself. And then if you have another direction to go in, that's because that's the direction you're supposed to go in. A lot of people say, well, this hasn't played out yet. Well, yeah, it has because there's nothing going on.
So
he refuses to express
him.
To you. I'm just saying, if he calls you up and expresses his fears to you, he says, like, okay, this is my fear. This is why I haven't followed through a lot of things, and he wants to talk about it. That's still a different – that's still another path that's asking, well, here you go. He's giving you information now. You can proceed to go down that way and get somebody who wants to open up to you. You know, A lot of times with situations, even if it's a negative situation of people communicating, there's still communication going on and there's still things to be heard. Okay?
Right. So
I'm just saying, be honest with yourself. Say, okay, what? I'm just saying, if you made a conscious decision to walk away, a lot of times in situations of making that decision just to walk away, then you have someone who presents themselves. It could be the ideal of you have expectations, but sometimes we have a tendency to dwell on those too much, of expecting someone to do something or to proceed in a certain way or do this kind of thing, when maybe the answer is just to let go of it, let it play out the way it's going to. And then a lot of people find out that they actually get that person to come out of the dark, come out of the shadows, and actually present themselves to you. In the process, say, okay, the reason I haven't said this or that is because of certain feelings or certain things that are going on, or even to the point of not really understanding if you're being sincere. So it brings a lot of things out in the open.
I'm being sincere.
Okay.
And I'm being loving, and I'm not.
Well, maybe, okay, let's put it this way, okay? You're saying you're being sincere, but still you're not getting the reactions.
Mm.
Or you're just not getting back what you're putting out. It could, you know, and you say, I'm being very honest, very straightforward, and this is exactly what I want, and this is who I am. Well, I guess you have to look at the situation, too, and realize that he is, too. He's presenting to you exactly who he is at this moment. So it could be the situation and say, well, maybe if that's the case, then maybe he's not the one. Because if the person would be with, would basically think about this. I mean, the reason I use the girl I was dating this last summer as an example, because it was so spontaneous in the process of two people listening. Now, I even had a couple of situations where there were some things that she would ask questions and ask me why did I have that perception? Or why did I see things that way? She asked the question, and I gave her how I felt. Why do I feel this way? This is why I feel like this. But see, that's a conversation, isn't it? It's almost mm-hmm. like two people at that point not really being scared. They trust what's going on between the two people. They trust that when I ask the question, he's going to give me the answer. Or when I ask her a question, she's going to give me the answer. And if you notice, on those reactions, we kept on going forward. It wasn't the other way around, going, okay, Buff, I get the wrong reaction. Didn't think about that. We thought about, at that moment, I wanted an answer.
Right.
And so it's spontaneous.
Right. A lot of times when people are doing something wrong, they don't know it. Do you feel like he's fully aware of what he's doing, but just is like, okay, I'm going to wait till a later date to address this?
That's a hard question to answer, because if you look at the situation, there's some things that he does he is aware of, and there's other things he's not. You see what I'm saying? So when he thinks a lot, he's thinking about certain things, at that time he's aware of those, or he wouldn't be thinking about them. But there's other things he doesn't know about. Those are curiosities, but he's still thinking about them. So see, it's a double-edged sword. It's a yes and no answer. The answer are some things he is aware of, and there's other things he's not. I also feel like in these situations, too, like I said before, if you're in a situation having a conversation with somebody, and you're sitting there, and something comes over you and says, you need to say this to him. Okay, you need to say this to him. It's coming to you. Don't get caught up in the whole thing and think about it too much and say, okay, if I do this, he'll get hurt. If it's coming to you and you feel like it's guidance, it's one of those things that needs to be said to bring it to his awareness,
right,
to bring it to his attention and say, okay, this is what's going on. This is how I feel. Like some people sitting, well, I want to say this to him. I don't want to sit and tell this guy that he just hurt my feelings. Well, I hurt his feelings. I'm sitting there going, excuse me? It's okay for him to hurt your feelings, but you can't hurt his?
Exactly.
I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, but take a step back and look at it and say, okay, how did he hurt me? Was it just a realization? I wasn't really wanting to see it, but now since he's brought it to my attention, I consider and say it hurt my feelings, but how does it really resonate with me, or how does it reflect back to me about myself? Because people sit there, I've heard this before, see, we're putting it too much in a group. I don't understand men. Maybe the point is you don't understand yourself. There are certain things that are coming to the forefront that you don't understand about yourself. I mean, people sit here and say this a lot. They'll say, well, he's a man, I'm a woman. Okay. But you can still understand each other, because when you look at the ideal spirituality, spirits, angels, actually angels, there is no sex. And as in spirit, I think a lot of people wish there was in heaven. Maybe there is. You know? But I'm just saying, there's not a lot of weight put on it either. It's just, you love someone, you express it. There's no thinking about it. We think about it too much in human form. You know, women have a tendency to get mad and say, okay, this guy pissed me off. He ain't getting nothing tonight. They don't realize in the process of withholding, it really affects both of you. Not just him, but you, and vice versa. I've seen men do this too. You know, since she's not going to give it up, I'm not giving no money either. And it's just like, but see, if you sit and look at the situation, we're not right now, we're starting to see something that maybe they should be looking at. What is your foundation for this relationship? Is it money or sex? When it should be one thing. Because it has been said, in the 21st century, is the first time in human history that you can actually marry and be with somebody just because you love them. No expectations. So why are there still expectations put on those things? Maybe that's what the hindrance is too. Expectations. We're like, okay, put it out there. This is the person I want to meet. Okay, now you meet him. Why are we still putting ourselves on expectations, okay? It's not falling in place just like I want it to. Well, that's none of your business. You're supposed to be focusing on the outcome. What do you want? Do you want an outcome with this person? Do you want to get married? Think about that. If you focus on the ideal, say, okay, I want to meet a person, I want to get married. So the outcome is marriage. So focus on that outcome of being happy and being married. So therefore, the universe is going to fall into place just like it's supposed to, so therefore you can be happy and married. So why should we worry about the process of getting there? If we're focusing on, and we truly want that, to be happy and married, wouldn't we all spontaneously meet the right person? And all our responsibility is to let go and to enjoy it, knowing for a fact that we already know what the outcome is, because we already dictated it. We already manifested it. And then all of a sudden, there's a person that comes in your life. So trust it. But also on the same format, if this is what my outcome is, and it's just not, and right now I'm just not happy and I just don't see it with this guy, you know, be honest with yourself and say, okay, if that's the case, then that's the truth. That's what you see. Why can't we all make decisions accordingly and say, okay, I don't see this. If you don't see it, then it more likely is not it. Because I know for a fact, when I met this one person, I can see the future. I can see a future. That's the point. I can see a future with this person. So if there's any kind of separation or any kind of things that don't fall into place like they're supposed to, I'm supposed to be focusing on the outcome. So therefore, they should be just temporary situations, shouldn't they? Or maybe it's just the idea I lost touch. I lost touch with my vision of what the future is.
When he's telling me, you know, even though these things are going on, he's telling me, you know, soon I will do this, you know, soon this will happen, soon that will happen. But, you know,
sure.
I'm just, like, I don't want to be false.
I'm just, all I want to say to you is, realistically, with the recording part, we only have 3 minutes left. So I just want to make sure. I want to sit here and say something right now. So in the process of getting, you know, really getting into the conversation and we get cut off.
Okay.
I just want to sit here and say that's the reason we got cut off, because they said, no more for you. Okay. But I'm just saying with the situation, just look at it and say, okay, am I getting what I want right now? Can I see a future with this person? When I look in this guy's eyes, can I see a future, and can I be happy with this person? What do you see? And in the process of looking at, ask myself, how does it resonate within my heart? Believe me, you would definitely feel the vibration. A lot of people say you can raise your vibration, but I'm just saying at that moment, ask yourself, what do you feel? Even if you feel it, you should be able to feel it, even if it's not on the right vibration,
Mm-hmm.
You should still be able to feel something to give you an indication that you need to raise your vibration for you two to be together in the way you see it. Or it will resonate with you and saying, you know something? You don't feel anything.
I think that it's teaching me a lot of things or whatever. But I just wanted to say, like, another thing I didn't understand, too, is when you say communicate with him or tell him this or tell him that, I'm not able to do that because when I call, he don't answer. And I don't get that.
Oh, I got you.
Like, is he,
you do like I do, sweetie. You call him up and you go, answer the phone, answer the phone. Answer. You know how many times I've ever done that? I'll call a friend of mine. I can't. No, seriously, I call people. I go, they're not answering. So I started doing that. It said, ask for what you want. I said, okay, I want you to answer the phone. Answer the phone. One lady answered the phone, and she's like, what did you say answer the phone for? Oh, I was just sitting there talking to myself until you answered the phone. But I said, basically, I called you. I sat there and said, well, you're not answering the phone, so I really wanted to talk to you. So I just put the message out there, and I just kept on saying it loudly. Answer the phone. And I said, you did. So there must be a lot of truth to that, because every time I've ever done that, people answer the phone.
But people don't. I'll be calling, and I'll be like, answer the phone. Just answer so I can say what I need to say. And he don't.
Bring the vibration to your chair. I'm saying, when you sit there and focus on the whole thing, do you see it in your mind, or do you feel it in your heart? Just ask yourself next time you do that. Because what I do is I try to bring the energy down going,